some of our arrangements, so we called her chef to be a little bit late. So welcome her, Reinberger, Buden, and I'm just thanking Chef for being fantastic for our community this week. I know Chef has been busy teaching Torah as usual. Chef.
As the topic for tonight's shiur, I chose the Nusach HaTfilah that we use, the special Nusach HaTfilah that we recite on Yomim Tovim. This coming, tomorrow night, is going to be Yom Tov and Shabbos together. So on a normal Friday afternoon, on a normal Erev Shabbos, we would recite Kabbalah Shabbos. We would start with Luchun Radana and so on. The custom in much of the world is that Kabbalah Shabbos is not recited when you have Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos. I happen to live in Washington Heights, and in the Breuer's community, their practices, their meaning is that they do recite Kabbalah Shabbos, even when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. But in Eastern Europe, the custom was that not, and the reason that's given is the following, that the two mitzvahs of Kibud V'Yonig really apply both to Shabbos and to Yom Tov. The two Psukim Kibud V'Yonig appear in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, and it's assumed that these are an interpretation of the Pasuk in Chumash, when the Torah requires of us Zachor as Yom Shabbos Lekatcho. So we have Zachor and Shomer. So Shomer means to be a Shomer Shabbos, not to do Malacha. What does Zachor mean? So the Talmud understands the word Zachor means Lahazakir, to recite Kiddush, to mention the Kedushas Hayom. But in addition to reciting Kiddush, the Navi Yeshaya says that also included in this Pasuk Zachor, which applies both to Shabbos and to Yom Tov, the obligation to recite Kiddush applies both to Shabbos and to Yom Tov. So also included in Zohar is Kibud V'Yonig. What does Kibud mean? What does Onig mean? So the Vilna Goyen writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Kibud means all the hachanas that we do in advance of Shabbos, in advance of Yom Tov, and Onig means the pleasure that we derive on Shabbos on Yom Tov. Cooking the food on Erev Shabbos is Kibud, and eating the food on Shabbos is Onig. Taking the shower on Erev Shabbos and getting dressed up Shabbosik is Kibud. And wearing the clean clothes and having a good feeling that the whole house is clean, vacuuming the rug on Erev Shabbos is Kibud, and enjoying the house being clean on Shabbos is the Onig. So the reciting of Kabbalah Shabbos, true, it was introduced in the 1500s in Tzfas, and there were those after the 1500s who never recited Kabbalah Shabbos, but those who do recite L'chud Marana, L'chud Doidi, and so on, this is assumed to be a Kiyuma Mitzvah of Kibud Shabbos. We prepare in advance for Shabbos, and the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, the way to fulfill Kibud is, the person bathes and dresses up L'Kabud Shabbos, and he waits with great anticipation till the Shabbos will arrive. So in anticipation of Shabbos, our practice is that we recite L'Chun Radana. It's only a custom that was introduced in the 1500s, but once you'll fulfill this custom, that'll be a Kiyama Mitzvah of Kibud. So strictly speaking, we should really do this on every Yom Tov also, which we do. We vacuum the house on every Erev Yom Tov, we take a shower, we put on Yom Tov Dika Malbushin, and we should really come to shul early and recite some psukim, like something parallel to, we should daven mincha, and then recite something parallel to Kabbalah Shabbos every Erev Yom Tov. So the Maisa, we don't. It's a question, how come we don't, but we don't. So when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, the custom developed in Eastern Europe that this would be considered a bizoyan to Yom Tov, to recite Kabbalah Shabbos, and not to recite anything special to Kovod Yom Tov. On every Yom Tov, we don't recite a Kabbalah Yom Tov. Okay, it's not in glaring contradiction to Shabbos, because next week is going to be a Shabbos. Last week was a Shabbos, but today is only Yom Tov. Today is not Shabbos, we don't recite Kabbalah Yom Tov. But when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, and we're going to greet, we're going to go out of our way to walk to the door and to greet Boi Chala, greeting the Shabbos. What about Yom Tov? So that constitutes a bizoyan to the Yom Tov. So that's why the meaning developed in many communities to leave out the Kabbalah Shabbos. In fact, the latest Svarim write that there is a custom that every Friday night people recite Shalom Aleichem, and on Yom Tov night we don't recite Shalom Aleichem. So when Shabbos falls out on Yom Tov, many had the minig to leave out Shalom Aleichem also. Also, it will constitute sort of an insult to Yom Tov. We're only greeting the angels who baglet us on Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, what about the angels on Yom Tov? So many have the custom to leave that out as well. On Yom Tov, the minig is that after we finish Hashkiveinu, before we start the Shemoneh Esrei, so most communities, they recite the pasuk, V'adar b'moshes me'adei Hashem al b'nei Yisrael. And if it's Yom Tov, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, then you recite, V'shamra b'nei Yisrael asa Shabbos. the Baal HaTanya, as well as the Vilna Gaon, who were contemporaries, they both lived the end of the 1700s, were both opposed to the reciting of Baruch Hashem Le'olam, as well as Vayda'a Moshe, as well as V'shama B'nei Yisrael as HaShabbos. They felt that this was an improper custom. The Baruch Hashem Le'olam doesn't appear in the Gemara, nor does Vayda'a Moshe, nor does V'shama B'nei Yisrael as HaShabbos. Never appears in the Gemara. He's supposed to say it here. So they felt that all of this constitutes a hefsik, and it's not proper to say. It's interesting, when the Baal HaTanya was publishing his Siddur during his lifetime, so he planned to leave out, he left out Baruch Hashem Le'olam, and planned to leave out V'shama B'nei Yisrael as HaShabbos as well. So he was a mechutin of the Kedushas Levi, Rab Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva. So Rab Levi Yitzchak sent him a letter. He heard that he was going to leave out V'shamru. How can you leave out V'shamru? The Malachim in heaven jump from joy when the Jewish people recite V'shamru. So he said, okay. So he printed in the Siddur V'shamru, and he writes in his Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't say V'shamru. So he printed it and says to be supposed to look at it and not to recite. Okay. So those who daven Nusach HaGrom would normally leave out Baruch Hashem Le'olam in Eretz Yisrael. They leave out Baruch Hashem Le'olam. So most of them would leave out also V'shamru, and as well leave out Vayda'a Moshe Me'adei Hashem. In those shuls where they recite Ma'arovis, where they recite Piyutim in the middle of Birchas Kriyat Shema, so the minig was in many communities for many years that because a long piyut was added in the bracha of Goal Yisrael, so the nusach of the conclusion of the bracha would be changed. Instead of saying the simple Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, they used to recite Baruch Atah Hashem Tzur Yisrael B'Goalo. So the Vilna Gaon was very opposed to this, and he said, we have no source in the Talmud to change the nusach HaBracha, not here, nor in Aseres Yemei Tshuva at the end of the Shemona Esrei. So in many communities, Nusach Ashkenaz is that they changed the Nusach HaBroch. Instead of saying HaMavarach is HaMisrael B'Shalom, so in Aseres Yemei Tshuva they usually say Oseh HaShalom. In Nusach Sfar, they don't have such a change. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they change it. So the Vilna Gaon was opposed to that change as well. He said it doesn't appear in the Gemara, and you're not permitted to change the Nusach HaBroch of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So he said it's not proper to change in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. As well as before Duchening, the minig in many communities is that whenever there are Kohanim who are going to Duchen on Yontif, so in the repetition of the Shmon Esrei, when the Chazan gets to the Bracha Hamachazir Shchinosa Letzion, so we recite the long piyut before the Duchening, we say Visera, we'll get to that a little later. So instead of concluding Hamachazir Shchinosa Letzion, the Chazan concludes the Bracha Shoschol Abatcho B'Yeron Avod. This bracha existed in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. Shalavat Chabira Nava means Avoda, Avodas HaKorbonis. The Mishnah records such a bracha in the Beis Hamikdash. But in Ashman Esrei, the Vilna Gaon felt that that's not correct. You shouldn't be Mishana the Nusach HaBracha. We should say, even when we're going to Duchen in the middle of Musaf on Yontif, we should say the same Nusach HaBracha of HaMachzir Shchinasa Letzion. So this is quoted from the Vilna Gaon. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, and he established the Volozhiner Yeshiva, and the Volozhiner Yeshiva lasted for 90 years, from 1801 to 1891, till the government closed it. And then in Volozhin, they always followed the Nusach HaGro. This practice was observed in the Volozhiner Yeshiva for 90 years. That was the Nusach that they recited. Not all of the Nusach HaGro was accepted in the Litvish yeshivas in Europe. Some of it was accepted and most of it was not accepted. But this one, not to change the Nusach HaBrocha, that's a more serious issue than most of the other issues involved in the Nusach HaTvila. So that's why in the Litvish yeshivas in Europe, a lot of them used to be makpid not to change the Nusach HaBrocha. I remember for many years I used to be the Baal Tvila in the yeshiva for Musaf on Shavuos morning. On Leil Shavuos everybody stays up in the yeshiva. Then when it came Shachris, everybody was half asleep. Then when it came Musaf, three quarters of the people were three quarters asleep. So for quite a few years, I used to daven Musaf. So I used to say, instead of saying Shoschol Avat Chadir Anavar, I used to say Hamachzir Shchinasa Letzion. So after Musaf, Rabbi Lifshitz Zuchan Lebracha would always give me, in Yiddish, he would say, Adabal Yashikach, Yashikach for Andavinin, Yashikach for Hamachzir Shchinasa Letzion. That I said the correct Musaf that it should have been. Because originally Yeshiva was founded, Yeshiva University was a combination of two different yeshivas. So the first one was Yeshiva Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim was Volozhin Yeshiva. So it's supposed to have carried over all the traditions of Volozhin. So that's why Rabbi Lipschitz thought that in Litvish yeshivas, other yeshivas also They said the Nusach Hamachzir Shechina Salatim. So that's why he gave me the double Yashar Koach. In the Yom Tov Digishmon Esrei, the Gemara in the end of Psachim, in the last Perek of Psachim, points out that the Nusach HaBrocha in the Chasima is different from the Nusach HaBrocha in the Chasima on Shabbos. In the Shmon Esrei of Shabbos, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. You don't mention Mekadesh Yisrael HaShabbos, you just say Mekadesh HaShabbos. On Yom Tov, the Nusach should be Mekadesh Yisrael HaHazmanim. Why is there a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara explains that Shabbos is Kviyah V'Kaima from Sheshis Mei Bereshis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it says, V'Yivarech HaLekeim HaSeh HaMesh Mei Kadosh also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified all the Shabbosim, the first Shabbos, and all the Shabbosos of Lasid Lavoi, Liyolam Void. As opposed to Yom Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't sanctify Yom Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the Jewish people, and he gave us a tzivui that we in turn should sanctify the Yom Tov. So that's the meaning of the Baruch Mekadesh Yisrael, Vahazmani Mekadesh Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the Jewish people, that we in turn are Mekadesh Hazmani. We in turn are Mekadesh the Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, we are not Mekadesh the Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly Mekadesh HaShabbos. And then when you have Yom Tov, tomorrow night is Yom Tov, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, so the Gemara says, you don't say, one opinion was you say Mekadesh Yisrael, Vahashabbos, Vahazmanim. So the Gemara says, we don't accept that opinion. We say Mekadesh HaShabbos directly, Hashem sanctify Shabbos, v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh, the Jewish people, who in turn are Mekadesh these manim. This is the reason why the Nusach HaTfilah on Yom Tov begins after V'Chatanu Mekol HaAmim. We emphasize the aspect of the Bechiras Yisrael. On Shabbos, we mention Kivon V'Chartu V'Sana Kiddasha. We always mention the Bechiras Yisrael, but it doesn't take up such a prominent spot like it does on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, the whole bracha begins out of a chatanah with such an emphasis, with the repetition. So the reason for this is because the whole Kedushas Yom Tov is created by the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the Jewish people, and he gave us the ability to be Mekadesh the Yom Tov. So that's why we have to start with this emphasis. We have the Bechiras Yisrael, and this enables us to sanctify the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov. When you have tomorrow night, when you have Yom Tov Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Yud Zayin, and Aleph quotes a Braisa, which records a Machlokes B'Shamayim B'Silo. What should the text of the Tefillah be? So B'Shamay are of the opinion that you say the first three brachas till Hakel HaKadosh, then you say the last three brachas at the end of Shmon Esrei. Those are always the same from Ritzei till the end. And then in the middle, you have to say two brachas. You have to say first a bracha for Shabbos, Ata kidashta, Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Then you say another bracha, Ata v'chatan v'kol amim, and you end up in Kadesh Yisrael v'hazmani. So it adds up to eight brachas. You have an amida, you have what we call a Shmon Esrei, you have an amida with eight brachas, the first three, the last three that we always have. And in the middle, you have two brachas on the two Kedushas Hayom. The first bracha on Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, and the second bracha on the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov. Then the Gemara says that the Braisa quotes Priscilla disagree, that you don't say two different brachas in the middle, you only say one bracha, and then what should that bracha be? So the Tanoim touch it up a little bit, Rebbe touches it up, we don't paskin all the way like Bisilo. We modify Bisilo's opinion, we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe, and that's the text of the tefillah that we say, that we combine all the time, whenever we, Atav HaChatan Mekol HaAmim, in the first paragraph, he didn't say anything about Shabbos and Yom Tov, just spoke about Bechiras Yisrael. Then he said, Batitan Lanu Shemalkeinu, Ma'adim v'simchos, and whenever you say Yom Tov, you got to say Shabbos, you have to combine the two together. When you say v'hasiyenu, he's speaking about Yom Tov, so you have to mention Shabbos as well. And Yalav Yava is also a problem. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Maharil, and quotes from the Mordechai, and quotes from all the Bali Ateisus, that the practice always used to be, for quite a few centuries, that in Yalav Yava as well, they used to mention Shabbos. They would say, Zichronein Afiknenenu, Zichron Aviseinu, B'yoyim HaShabbos HaManoach HaZeh, B'yoyim Chag HaMatzos HaZeh. Whenever you mention Yom Tov, in each of the brachas, V'titan Lona, you have to combine Shabbos with Yom Tov, and V'hasayenu, you combine Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Yalav Yavo as well, you combine Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's what it says in the Ramah, quoting the Maharil, quoting the Markha, quoting the practice of the Bali Ateisus for centuries. The Mishnah Berurah writes that in the later generations, somehow this was disregarded. our practice is that we don't, most people have the practice today, they don't incorporate mention of Shabbos into Yalav Yav, even when Yantar falls out on Shabbos. Why is that? So if you look in the big Siddur, in the Oitz Ratfila Siddur, so they quote the following. What is the Nusach HaTfila of Yalav Yav based on? Why do you only say Yalav Yav on Yantav? How come we don't say Yalav Yav on Shabbos? On Chalamoid we say, and on Yantav we say, and Rosh Chodesh we say, how come on Shabbos we don't say Yalav Yav? The answer is that it's based on the Pasuk in Chumash and Parshas Bahaloscha, where it says, of Yom Simchaschem of Maradechem of Rosh HaChechem, on Yom Tevim and on Rosh HaChadoshim, Uskaitem b'chatzoitzros, we should blow chatzoitzros in the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with the Hakrobas HaKarbonis. And what's the purpose of Uskaitem b'chatzoitzros? When Uskaitem l'fnei Hashem alakechem, you should be remembered before HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Hakrobas HaKarbonis. So the Chumash tells us of Yom Simchaschem Radechem Rosh HaChechem, that on Rosh HaChadoshim and on Yom Tevim there is an inyan of Tkiyas chatzoitzros to have in Uskaitem. So we don't have any Beis HaMikdash, we don't have any Chatzaitzes, we don't have any Korbanos, so we say, Yalav Yavoy, he should remember, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sort of in a Shalma form, so saying, whatever aspect of Korbanos we're not able to fulfill, so we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the prayer should be accepted as if we had done it. So he should be, it should be in his Kartam, Lefnei Hashem Alkechem. But it doesn't say in the Chumash that you blow Chatzaitzes on Shabbos. The Pashtus in the Chumash is, the only blow chatzaitzes on Rosh HaChadoshim and on Yomim Tovim and on Chalamot. You don't blow on Shabbos. The Sifrei comments of Yom Simchaschem Eilu HaShabbos. That's what it says in the Sifrei. Sifrei assumes that you do blow chatzaitzes on Shabbos as well. But it's generally assumed that they didn't blow chatzaitzes on Shabbos. And that's why the Nusach of Yalav Yavoy never applies to Shabbos. It only applies to Yom Tovim to Rosh HaChadoshim. So that's what some of the later Svarim write. What's the reason why this practice is no longer observed? How come we don't follow what the Ramah quotes from the Mordechai, from the Maharil, from the Balei HaTosfos, to mention Shabbos in the middle of Yalav Yavoy? Because Shabbos has no shaychus with the Miniskarta. The whole institution of Kiyas Chatzotzos, the whole field of Yalav Yavoy, Zichroneinu, Figneinu, we should be remembered, only has to do with Yom Tov and Rosh HaChadoshim. Shabbos has no shaychus. So on this paragraph of the Tfilo, we don't have to insert Shabbos. In Batit and Lona, we insert Shabbos. In Vahasiyena, we insert Shabbos. But over here, Shabbos hat nishken shaychus. There is, in the tiny letters in Vahasiyena, we have that when Yonta falls out on Shabbos, we add a little bit. So exactly what is added? So there are three different minhagim. So our minhag is, the common minhag is that we have a whole parenthesis here in tiny letters, that tomorrow night when Yom Tov falls on the Shabbos, we add the following. Kasher atzis matel v'chein, and then we say, l'keinu, l'keinu v'seinu, ritzei b'menuch ha'sein. Others have the practice, the Nusach HaGroh, that's where Rav Soloveitchik used to daven. Rav Soloveitchik's father was brought up in Valozhin. So that's why he always used to daven, and his father's father, Rav Chaim, was probably born in Valozhin. So they carried on the Nusach HaGroh. Rav Elbele Soloveitchik was younger than Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, so he probably was not in Valozhin. You have to check the dates, and if he was, he was probably just a little baby. So that's why Rav Elbele didn't always follow all the Nusach HaTfila that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik followed. So we'll get to that a little later. So Rav Soloveitchik followed the Nusach HaGroh, so his practice was that when Yanta falls on Shabbos, you don't say L'keinu L'keinu V'seinu, just say Ritzei B'menuch HaSeinu. That's all you add. And in Rabbi Yankif Emden's Siddur, which most of the time he doesn't compose his own Nusach HaTfila, he just records the Nusach Hamburg. He lived in Hamburg. So his Nusach is that you always say L'keinu L'keinu V'seinu, even when Yanta falls out on a weekday at this point. You say V'yamata L'vacheinu, L'keinu L'keinu V'seinu, Karsheinu M'mitzvaysecha. When Yanta falls out on Shabbos, then you add two words, V'tzei B'mruch HaSeinu. But even when Yom Tov falls out on the weekdays, you add on, you should always have in the Nusach HaTfila, Elokeinu Elokei V'seinu. What is this all about, the three different Nuschos? So Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. He said, apparently the Nusach Hamburg that Rav Yankif Emden has adopted feels that the concluding paragraph in the middle in the Broch Emtzoi should always begin with the phrase, Elokeinu Elokei V'seinu. Like on Shabbos, how do we begin the concluding paragraph of the middle of Brocha of the Shemoneh Esrei, L'keinu L'keinu V'seinu, Ritzei B'menuch HaSeinu, Karsheinu M'mitzvaysecha. On Yom Tov, the concluding paragraph in our Siddur starts, V'hasiyenu. So it's unusual. How come it doesn't start the Lekeinu Kevesein? So that's why Nusach Hamburg adopted this text. That Vahasiyenu is one paragraph that concludes Ve'amatu Levacheinu, and then starts the concluding paragraph. Lekeinu Kevesein, Kevesheinu Mitzvaysecha, and on every Yontif, not only Yontif Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, even Yontif Shechol Yis B'Chol, you should always start the concluding paragraph with Lekeinu Kevesheinu, as on the same as on Shabbos. In Birnbaum's Machzer, he writes in his introduction that he has introduced several shinuyim into his Machzer, and this is one of his shinuyim, that he adopted Rabbi Yankov Emden's text, that he always has Elokeinu Kevesein, even when Yom Tov falls out on the weekdays. And the only thing that's different is, on Shabbos, you add Ritzei Ben Chasein, on the weekdays, you don't say that. So at the time that the Birnbaum Machzer first came out, 40-some-odd years ago, so Soloveitchik expressed his great displeasure over Dr. Birnbaum's changing of the Nusach. Rabbi Soloveitchik had a different Nusach also. He didn't say on Nusach, he said Nusach Agro, but he thought that it was a chutzpah for Dr. Birnbaum to paskin for all of Klal Yisrael. The man knew that his text was going to be used all over, so who in the world does he think he is to change the Nusach to? Okay, that was his complaint. So the Nusach of Rabbi Yankov Emden, it's not really his, Nusach Hamburg, is that you always say Elokeinu Kevesein, the assumption being that this is the beginning of the concluding paragraph. V'hasiyenu is not a paragraph, and Elokeinu Kevesein is the beginning of the concluding paragraph. Our minig is that we don't say Elokeinu Kevesein when Yom Tov falls out on the weekdays. We assume that the paragraph begins with the word V'hasiyenu, sure. On Shabbos, the concluding paragraph in the Brachim Tzoyis is Elokeinu Kevesein, Tzeim Yechaseinu. And on Yom Tov, the concluding paragraph begins with V'hasiyenu. It doesn't have to be parallel. So why is it that when Yom Tov Chol Yis B'Shabbos, we add on this line, Elokeinu Kevesein? Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. The Beis Shammai are of the opinion, we started before, in Beit Sadaf Yitzayinam and Aleph, that when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos tomorrow night, in the middle, in between the first three brachas and the last three brachas, you should have two brachas. One bracha for Kedusha Shabbos and one bracha for Kedusha Yom Tov. They have nothing to do with each other. The Kedusha Yom Tov is superimposed on top of the Kedusha Shabbos, so why should you combine them together? The Bisilos say no, that you have to combine the two together, and that's what we follow. So the Gemara in Brachas raises a question. How can you conclude with the Chasim and the Kadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim? This is in violation of the principle of Ein Chosme Mishnayim. Let's say a person comes a little late for Shachris, and he doesn't have time to say all the 15 Birchas HaShachar. So he wants to streamline it to save time. So he says, Baruch Atah Hashem Akeinu Melech HaOlam, so the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. And even by the Yeved, you're not Yaitzei 15 brachas. You can't do that. The first thing that you said, Yaitzei that one, and the other 14, you have to repeat again. You can't combine two different chasimis into one bracha. So the Gemara says, but over here we do Mikadesh HaShabbos, on Shabbos, the same Kadesh HaShabbos, and Yantav, the same Kadesh Yisrael B'Hazmanim, and here you combine two. So the Gemara says, this is the one and only exception to the rule. Ein Chos Mishnayim Chutz Mizu. So the Gemara asks, well, why? In Brachas Daf Nam Tes, why is this an exception to the rule? So the Gemara says, basically, it's Achasi. It's really one. So the Rishonim have two interpretations on that answer of the Gemara. What do you mean that it's one? So some Rishonim sound like they feel that when Yantav falls out on Shabbos, it's not that you have a Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Tov superimposed on top of Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos. The two Kedushas blend in together to be a new animal. It's not Shabbos, and it's neither Shabbos nor Yom Tov. It's Shabbos Yom Tov hyphenated. It's a new combination of Shabbos. Yom Tov Shechol Yis B'Shabbos is a new animal. It's a new thing. So if you say like that, then the Machlekes B'Shamim and B'Sil is a fundamental Machlekes on the nature of the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Tov Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. B'Sham I say, you have Kedushas Yom Tov superimposed on top of Kedusha Shabbos. Therefore, you should say two different brachas in the middle for the Kedushas Hayom. And they still disagree on the level of their eyes, and not just in the Nusach HaTfilah. They still disagree. They think that Shabbos Yom Tov blends in together to become one new Kedushas Hayom. So that's why Achasi, it's not a violation of Ein Chos Mishnayim. It's one Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos Yom Tov hyphenated. That's what some Rishonim seem to say. And other Rishonim seem to say explicitly on that daf, Mem Tesem and Aleph and Brachos. Other Rishonim seem to say differently. In principle, they still really agree with the Beis Shammai, that they really took Kedusha Sayyams. And really, you should say eight brachas. Beis Shammai are really right. You should have said a separate bracha for Shabbos, and a separate bracha for Yanta. But there's another Gemara in brachas where the Gemara says that the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, when they composed the Nusach HaTfilah, had no right, they had no ability, however you word it, just to compose a Tfilah on their own. They had to find a precedent in Tanakh to base their Tfilahs on. The whole Sefer Abu Dram and several other Rishonim similar to the Abu Dram, Ibn Yarchi and others, they all use the text of the Tfilah. They all work on the text of the Tfilah to find where every single phrase appears in Tanakh. The text of the Tfilah was composed at the time of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola when they didn't speak Biblical Hebrew. They spoke Mishnaic Hebrew. They spoke a different language of Hebrew. And nonetheless, the Tanoim, Womenaseach, the Nusach HaTfilah, everything was composed in Biblical Hebrew. So not only did it have to be, the Vilna Gaon points that out, the Taz points it out, other poskim, that's what all the assumption of all the Rishonim is like that. The Nusach HaTfilah has to be in Biblical Hebrew, number one, and number two, you have to have a precedent in Tanakh that you have a right to compose such a Nusach HaTfilah. So the Talmud says when they composed the Shemoneh Esrei, they had to find a source in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a Tfilah with 18 parts to it. Then when they added on the Lamalshinim, they had to find the source for a prayer with 19 parts. Then on a Tainis Tzibur, the Mishnayis in Tainis mentioned that the Chazan, who would repeat the Chazaras HaShatz, would add on an additional 6 brachas in the Chazaras HaShatz. So 6 added on to 18 makes 24. So the Talmud finds a source for a prayer in Tanakh that has 24 parts. Then on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Nusach HaTfilah has 7 parts, 7 brachas, so they found the source in Tanakh for 7. On Rosh Hashanah, we have 9 brachas, and they found the source for the 9 brachas. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of explaining every other year, he would go through this with the students, he used to enjoy this very much, to explain that really on Rosh Hashanah, the Musaf should have 10 brachas. You should have the first 3 brachas, every Shemoneh Esrei, the first 3 brachas, the last 3 brachas. The middle bracha should be Kedushas Hayom, Kadesh Yisrael, the Yom HaZikara. And then you should have Malchus and Zechariah and Shofar. So you have 3. The first 3, the last 3. And then another one for the Kedushas Hayom should really be 3 and 3 and 3 and 1 is 10. So how come we only have 9? So he explained because the Tanoim didn't find the Tanoim, not Anshei Knesset Hagdola, who are composing the Nusach HaTfilah, they didn't find any source in Tanakh for a Tfilah that has 10 units. They only found the source for 7 units, for 9 units, for 18 units, for 19 units, for 24 units. There's no source for a prayer that has 10. So they had to combine together 2 brachas. So this was the premise of all the Tanaim. You have to combine together 2 of the 10 brachas. So which 2 should be combined? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah quotes 3 opinions among the Tanaim. So our practice is that we combine the Kedushas Hayom, Ata v'chatan v'kol ha'amim, on Rosh Hashanah, to Musaf, we say Kedushas Hayom, atitun lanu yom hazikaron hazeh, and then we include Malchias together with Kedushas Hayom. Melech al-kol ha'aretz mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron is a combination. Melech al-kol ha'aretz is Malchias, mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron is Kedushas Hayom. The other Tana, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That's the accepted opinion. Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri is of the opinion that you should combine Malchias with Kedushas Hashem. When they say Atok Kadosh, Yishimcho Kadosh, how do we conclude? Hamelech HaKadosh. So you see, all of us incorporate the theme of Malchias into the bracha of Atok Kadosh, into Kedushas Hashem. So Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri is of the opinion you should insert the whole Malchias into Kedushas Hashem, and that'll be the way you're going to combine 2 brachas. You have to take 10 and kvetch them into 9. So which 2 are you kvetching together? So Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri says you have to combine together Malchias with Kedushas Hashem. Then the Brisa quotes a third opinion of the Tanaim, that you include Kedushas Hayom into Zechreinus. That we don't have any Zecher to that at all. But that's the third Tana, Rabbi Gamliel holds like that. But all the Tanaim, you see, all the Tanaim are working on the assumption that you're not allowed to have 10 brachas in the Musaf Dika Davening on Rosh Hashanah, because the source in Tanakh is Tfilas Chana, and it only has Shem Hashem mentioned 9 times. So the Tanoim who were composing the Nusach HaTfilah only found the precedent to have a Tfilah with 9 units. There is no precedent to have a Tfilah with 10 units. But they have 10 different themes that they had to work with. So they all were working on the premise. You have to combine 2 of the themes together, and they argued on the details which 2 you should combine together. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested over here. Could well be that in principle they still agree with Beis Shammah. The Shabbos and Yom Tov are unrelated. But you can't have a tefillah with 8 brachas. There's no source in Tanakh for that. We have to combine together the 2, the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov. So since, in principle, Beishame are really right, the Gemara just says, you're not in violation of Ein Chayis B'Mishtayim, because Achasi, the two are related. It's not different, Keruchak Mizrach Mimayrav. They're not totally unrelated. One is speaking, one of the two brachas, the Beishame is saying, should really be separate. He's also saying, you can't make it separate. We don't have a source for a tefillah with eight parts. So the Basil had to combine together two. So which two are you going to combine? So they said, the Seichel dictates you combine the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos with the Kedushas Hayom of Yontif. But they're really two different themes, two different brachas. So that's why the common practice is that you add on the whole line, Alakeinu, Alakeva Seinu, Tzeibim Menuch HaSeinu. That's how the concluding paragraph of the Shemona Esrei of Shabbos always begins. Every Shabbos, when we say the bracha emtzois of the Shemona Esrei, we start Alakeinu, Alakeva Seinu, Tzeibim Menuch HaSeinu, Kadoshenu, Mitzvah, Tzeich, etc. Every Yontif, the concluding paragraph begins, V'Hasiyenu, Shem Alakeinu. So we begin with both. We start off by following Beis Shammai. We say Vahasiyenu. We say Elokeinu Hashem Tzeibim Luchaseinu. And then we combine the two together and we say Mikadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hasmanim, because we can make eight brachas. You have to have seven brachas. But we start off with two different brachas to demonstrate that really Beis Shammai is really right. If we were permitted to, we would have said two separate brachas. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his practice is, he follows the Nusach HaGro. Nusach HaGro follows those Rishonim who hold that Beis Hillel disagree fundamentally with the Beis Shammai. And they hold that Shabbos and Yontav blend in together to constitute one Kedushas Hayom. So why should you start the Hasiyenu and also start the Lakeinu or Lakeva Seinu to demonstrate you would have liked to say two different brachas? We would not like to say two brachas. It's a new Kedushas Hayom. It's neither Kedushas Shabbos nor Kedushas Yontav. And Shabbos Yontav hyphenated together. So you just add on Ritzeb B'Menuch HaSeinu, because that we usually don't say that on Yontif, because we have a Heter Eichel Nefesh. On Shabbos we have a fuller Menucha, so we say Ritzeb B'Menuch HaSeinu. But to start the Lakeinu V'Lakev HaSeinu, Ritzeb B'Menuch HaSeinu, that's an indication, Ki'ilu, you want to start two different paragraphs and blend them in together, so that the Nusach HaGro follows the opinion of those who shine him, that's not what the Beis Hillel say. Beis Hillel hold, in principle, fundamentally different from the Beis Shammai, the two Kedushas Hayom blend in together. So you don't want to demonstrate, Keely, you wanted to say two different brachas over here. The custom is, we have it printed in the Siddur, we say, V'titon lanu Hashem Elokeinu b'yahavu amadim l'simcho. And then we say, when it's Shabbos, so we say a second time, b'yahavu mikra kodesh. What do you say? Twice b'yahavu. We already said, V'titon lanu Hashem Elokeinu b'yahavu. Then you add on again, at the end, you add on B'yahavu a second time. Whenever it falls out on Shabbos, whenever the Yontif falls out on Shabbos, you keep on emphasizing B'yahavu. What is that all about? So the traditional explanation that's given in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Levush was after the days of the Shulchan Aruch, so the commentaries quote from the Levush. So he says that the mitzvah of Shabbos was given to the Jewish people before they came to Har Sinai. When the man fell down, on the way traveling from Yitzias Mitzram till Maimon Hasina, so the man, when they ran out of food, so they needed man. So the man fell down and didn't come down on Shabbos. So the mitzvah of Shabbos was given b'moro. So the mitzvah of Shabbos was given with pure ahava. Maimon Hasina is when all of the Yomim Tovim were given. So that wasn't 100% b'yava. God loved the Jewish people. He gave us all the mitzvahs, all the Tayag mitzvahs b'yava. But on the other hand, it was kaf aleim harkigigis. He pressured us to accept the Torah, and he threatened, if we don't accept the Torah, he's going to bury us alive. So it's not so much B'yavah. So when Yontif falls out on a weekday, we say, the Baruch Shalom gave us all of the mitzvahs B'yavah. When Yontif falls out on Shabbos, we say B'yavah square, because it's really B'yavah. It wasn't even Kaf Aleim Harkei Gigis, it was purely B'yavah. This is the classical, traditional explanation that's given by the Levush. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of giving a different explanation. I don't know if he got it from some Rishonim, but this is what he always used to say. That on Yontif, on all the Yomim Tovim, we have to bring, among the Musafim, we bring a Soyer Lachatos. The Rebbeinu Shalom loves us, but he shakes his finger and says, don't forget, all of you people sin, and you have to bring a Soyer Lachatos. I love you, but you need an atonement. On Shabbos, it's pure bi'ahavo. He tells us to bring Musafim, but there is no Soyer Lachatos. So that shows he doesn't even remind us of the fact that we are sinners. He doesn't ask us to do any act of kapara on Shabbos. So he thought that that's the reason why we emphasize B'yahavo more on Shabbos than on Yontif, because the karbonos of Shabbos have no mention at all of a soil achatos. There's no reminding even of the Jewish people that they need any atonement. There's no mifnei chatoreinu. Right. We don't, even though it's the same thing, on Shabbos we should have said, "Os mifnei chatoreinu galin miatzenu." We're not able to bring the Messiah. We don't say that. Only on Yom Tov we say that. We mention on Pesach night, "Patitin lano chaga matzus hazez man chereseinu." So we understand very well why Pesach is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We say the same Nusach on Shavuos and on Sukkos also, so it's not that too difficult to understand. Shavuos was 7 weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's also the completion of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sukkos, we were marching in the desert for 40 years. We had a divine protection. Also Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we mentioned Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. So what's the historical reminiscing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Achrayim that something occurred on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur the year before Yetzias Mitzrayim that led towards the Gula. Okay, so that's what we're alluding to. Most people don't even know that. What happened on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur before Yetzias Mitzrayim that we are reminiscing? We're supposed to be reminiscing every year on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur about something that happened before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Most people don't even know. The Avodah ended, whatever it was. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that wasn't the reason why we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and he didn't think that that's the reason why he say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos either. He thought that the whole idea of Atav HaChatonu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people Kedusha, Mekadesh Yisrael, the Hasman, and we in turn are the ones who are Mekadesh Yom Tov. So our ability to endow Zman with Kedusha was given to us on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaChodesh Asad Lachem Rosh Chodoshim. I give over the power to the Jewish people to be Mekadosh Rosh HaChodoshim and in turn to be Mekadosh Yomim Tovim. So that's why all of the Yomim Tovim are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shabbos is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim because in Egypt they didn't let us rest on Shabbos. A different story. The Chumash says that Shabbos is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But all the Yomim Tovim are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rav Soloveitchik thought, not so much because of the historical reminiscence. Because on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, most people are not aware of what historical event we're reminiscing about, but rather, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim means the ability to be Mekadesh Zman was given to the Jewish people on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the first night of Pesach, it was Matzoi Shabbos, and we had to recite Havdalah. So we recited Vatod Dayenu. This is the text that appears in the Gemara in Brachas. And the Gemara calls this the beautiful prayer that was composed, the beautiful nusach that was composed by Rabbi Shmuel in Bavel. It sounds as if there's some special connection to Bavel. This special connection to the fact that Rabbi Shmuel lived in Bavel when they composed this nusach hatfila. Why it fits in good in Eretz Yisrael as well. So the Maharsha has a comment on that Gemara, that when we speak about Vatitan Lanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the various Kedushas, so we mention, Vatarishenu, you granted us Kedusha Shabbos, Kvod HaMoed, Vatanchilen Izmane Sosan, Moade Kodesh, V'chagei Nidova. How do you translate the words Chagei Nidova? It's a difficult phrase. It doesn't appear anywhere else. What does it mean, Chagei Nedova? So the Maharsha interprets in the Chidushi Agoda, Chagei Nedova, a chag, he says, means a holiday. Okay. And Chagei Nedova means the voluntary holidays. What voluntary holidays? That's a reference to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. That the Chachamim introduced Midi Rabbanim. God didn't command us to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So the chag, every chag of the Sheni Shel Golias is a chag ein edove that the Jewish people have volunteered on their own, the Rabbanon, to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. So the Marsha understands that's why the Gemara emphasized the fact that this text was composed in Bavel by the Rabbanon, Rabbi Shmuel, who lived in Bavel, who were observing on the Sheni Shel Golias, because this phrase, chag ein edove, only makes sense in Chutzlars. It's an allusion to the Yantam Sheni Shel Golias. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that pshat. Others say the pshat as well. Rav Soloveitchik didn't think that that's what it meant. He thought that Chagei Nedova is a reference to the Korbanos Chagiga. The word Chag, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the word Chag means a holiday in which one brings a Korban Chagiga. But the original word Chag means a Korban Chagiga. The Chagos Amos of Chag Hashem doesn't mean you should celebrate the day as a holiday. It means you should offer a Korban Chagiga. The Chagos Amos of Chag Hashem. That's what the Gemara says. So he thought Chagei Nedava is an allusion to the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga, when the Mishnah says, comment on the post, Ish ki matnos yoda kevirkas Hashem alokecha shenosan boch, that when people come, when you have a Beis HaMikdash and you come with your family to be Oyla Regel, so how many, you have to bring Oyla Sriya and you have to bring Shalmi Chagiga. So how many Oyla Sriya do you have to bring? So strictly speaking, you can get 100 people joined together, chip in to buy one Oyla Sriya. You can have 100 people chip in together to buy one Shalmi Chagiga if you can't afford it. So that's what you do. If you can afford it, Ish ki matnos yoda kevirkas Hashem alokecha shenosan boch. So I have, my wife and I have, we have 9 children, so we should come to the Beis HaMikdash, we should bring 11 Oyla Sriya, 11 Shalmi Chagiga. And if I can afford more, I should, each one of us should bring 25 Oyla Sriya and 25 Shalmi Chagiga. So, well, Shalmi Chagiga is a problem, you have to eat it up. It doesn't make sense to bring a Korban Chagiga. Oyla Sriya, you burn on the Mizbeach. So if you can afford it, even if you have a person who's all alone, he's not married, has no children, if he can afford it, let him bring 100 Oyla Sriya. Fine. Ki matnos yoda kevirkas Hashem alokecha shenosan boch. Shalmi Chagiga depends. If you have a lot of mishesh la ochel merubim, if you have a big family, are you going to feed a lot of poor people? Are you going to feed all of the people in Yerushalayim? So bring more Shalmi Chagiga if you have less people to feed. How many korbanos Shalmi Chagiga you bring is a function of how much you can afford, plus how many people are going to eat. If you can't afford it, so you get 100 people to chip in to buy one Shalmi Chagiga. If you can't afford it, so you buy more Shalmi Chagiga in accordance with how many people you're going to invite over to the meal, because you're not supposed to bring Shalmi Chagiga and let it become nicer. So Soloveitchik thought that that's what the expression Chagei Nedava is a reference to. It's referring to not referring to the Yontem Sheni Shel Golias at all. He thought it's a reference to the Korbanos Chagiga that they would bring sort of Benedava. It's not really Benedava. Whoever could afford it would bring more, would spend more money. In the opening line of the Hasiyenu, we ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should give us the blessing, Birchas Ma'adecha, as he promised us, Kasher Atziso V'yamarta Levachena, as you promised us to bless us on the Yom Tov on the Sholosh Gom. Where do we find that in Tanakh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to bless the Jewish people on the Sholosh Regalim? So it's usually assumed, I remember Rav Soloveitchik said that, they quoted from Rav Elbala Soloveitchik as well, but I think it says in the standard Meforshim on the Siddur, that this is based on the pasuk v'hayisa ach sameach. The pasuk says in Parashas Re'eh v'hayisa ach sameach on Sukkis. So it's assumed that the pshuto shel mikra means that this is a haftacha, this is a promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, he will see to it that we will enjoy the yontif. The Gemara says v'hayisa ach sameach is a tzivui, and it's an allusion to the yontif achon shel chag, that even on Shmini Atzeres there is a chiyuv simcha. So the pashto says that's not really in contradiction to the Pshuta Shal Mikra. That's an additional level of interpretation. The Pshuta Shal Mikra and the phrase Vayisach Samech Nuchomish means Avtocha, Kasher Atziso V'yamarta L'vachenu, you promised to bless us. And in addition to the Pshuta, the Torah Shabbat Peh has another level of interpretation. You have throughout the whole Chumash like that. You have many, many, many Pesukim like that, where the Pshuta Shal Mikra means one thing. And the Torah Shabbat Peh says that there is an additional level of interpretation, that the Pasuk is taken as a Tzivui as well. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos in Perik Bameh Madlikin, in the middle of the Sugya of Chanukah, that the rabbis instituted the Brocha of Mogein Ovoz to be recited by the Chazan on Friday night because the shuls used to be outside of the city. And if someone would come late to Ma'ariv, everyone else would leave before him. He would be left all by himself. He would have to walk home by himself. So we are afraid that he may get hurt. He may be injured on the way back. Somebody may mug him, mazikim, or whatever, human mazikim, or mazikim, non-human mazikim, whatever it happens to be. We're concerned about mazikim. So that's why they introduced the Mogen Ovoz prayer on Friday night. So the question is, the Gemara explains this is what motivated the rabbis to introduce Mogen Ovoz. So do we say that if the shul is in the middle of the city and it's a very safe location, or you have an apartment building, and all the people in the building daven in the shul in the building? So there's no chashash sakana to anyone. So would you say, whenever there's no chashash sakana, then you don't recite the bracha of Mogen Ovoz? Or they say, no, that's what motivated the rabbis to introduce Magid Avos, but once they introduced it, then it's considered the Chazaras HaShatz of Leil Shabbos, and you always say it even when the reason for the Takana doesn't apply. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that on Pesach night, since God promised us that Pesach night is Leil Shimurim, we're going to have protection. And it's for that reason that when one recites the Kriya Shema Alamit on Pesach night, he can leave out those parts that are only needed for protection from the Mazikin, the Inoyam, and other sections that are only needed for Shmira. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that therefore you should leave out Magen Avos, because you don't need any protection. And others disagree. It's a machlokes in Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch writes like that, that on Pesach night you don't say Magen Avos. I have here a Redelheim Siddur, a Redelheim Machzah. The Redelheim Machzah has printed for the first night of Pesach, Magen Avos. Didn't have a chance to. I asked one of the yekis in my building, do you really say Magen Avos when the first night Pesach says, falls on him? He says, absolutely. It's printed in the Machzah. They say, I got to ask some more people. Is it really so? Is it a misprint? Because this is the Pesach Dikah Machzah, with all the Pesach Dikah Piyut. I got to find that. But in Shulchan Aruch it says you don't say Magen Avos on the first night Pesach. And other Rishonim disagree. They say that you do say. This Shaila comes up as well. What if you have a private minyan? Let's say just a month ago, my son got married. So he got married on a Wednesday night. So a lot of the relatives who came to the wedding were all staying in a hotel together. And then we had private minyan on Friday night. Only the relatives were there. They didn't start Kabbalah Shabbos till everybody was there. They didn't start Mincha Kabbalah Shabbos till all of the guests were there. So what's the chashash? Someone's going to be injured. No one's going to be injured. We're all going to walk together from this room to the next room. We're all going to eat in the adjacent room. Everyone's going to eat in the same place, so there's no chashash. So Shulchan Aruch, it says, that example, if you have a private minyan for a Sheva Brachas, you don't say Magen Avos. That's in Shulchan Aruch L'shitasa, that you don't say Magen Avos on Pesach night. The question is, according to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, maybe we should discontinue Magen Avos, period. All of our shuls are built in the middle of the city. We don't have shuls on the farms anymore. Nobody has to walk home by themselves in the dangerous sada. We're all walking by here. Sometimes it's dangerous in the city too. I don't know. So this is a question we have to consider. Maybe we should discontinue saying Magen Avos. I remember on one occasion, recently, a couple of years ago, the first night Pesach fell out on Shabbos. I was davening in a shul in my neighborhood. So they had a yeshiva bocha, daven far nomad. So he didn't know the kids of Shulchan Aruch. He didn't know that on Pesach night you don't say Magen Avos. He was too busy learning Gemara Pesachim. He didn't look in the kids of Shulchan Aruch. So he started saying Magen Avos. Baruch Atah Hashem, he starts saying. So the shaila was, what should he do now? He's already in the middle of the bracha. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, he's not supposed to say that bracha. It's a bracha levatola. So there was no rabbi there. So they turned to me, what he's supposed to do. So I thought, that Shengi is up the bracha, so let him finish it. If he's just going to leave it hanging, Karnei Shemayim, let's leave it in the middle, then for sure it's a bracha levatola. He's neither here nor there. He didn't finish it. He started it. Nothing. He started already the bracha. So let him finish the whole bracha and rely on those Rishonim who say that you're always supposed to say Magen Avos, even on the first night of Pesach. But the common practice, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, is that when Pesach falls out, first night Pesach falls out on Shabbos, one does not recite the Magen Avos. In Maseches Sofrim, which is not really a set of Mishnayos, the brises from the period of the Tanoim, Maseches Sofrim, the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Maseches Sofrim was composed by the Gaonei Eretz Yisrael in the Tkufas HaGaonim. And it has a lot of times the Minhagim of Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the Minhagim of Bavel. So Maseches Sofrim, it records that on the first two nights, first night of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, the first two nights of Pesach in Chutz Laretz, one should recite in shul Hallel with a bracha. Hallel Shalom with a bracha. So Taisus quotes this in a few places, and Taisus says, Taisus' practice was they didn't say Hallel the first night of Pesach in shul. So what's going on? What is this Masech Sofim all about? So Taisus says, yeah, that's for Amaratzim, who are going to go home. They don't know how to say Hallel. They don't have a printed Haggadah. That was before Maxwell House used to distribute the free Haggadah. So they don't have Haggadah, so they're not going to be able to say Hallel at home. So that what's going to be with the Hallel? They won't be able to say Hallel. Daphne Zogan Hallel and Shul to be Yotzeh. We know how to say Hallel in the middle of the Haggadah, so why should we say Hallel and Shul? The Hallel and Shul is only for the Amaratz. If you know how to say Hallel in the Haggadah, So you don't say twice halal and say not. So that's what Tosfos writes. You look in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Ramah always records the practice of the Baal HaTeh. So the Ramah writes like that for Ashkenazim. We don't say halal and shul, we say halal in the middle of the Haggadah, half of the halal before the meal, half of the halal after the meal. But the Mechaber quotes the Masechah Sof. The Mechaber writes that you're supposed to say halal and shul the first night of Pesach. Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he says if you live in Chutz Lo'etz, you say halal shalom with a bracha, the both nights. So the minig Ashkenaz always was like the Ramah, till the days of the Vilna Goyen. So the Vilna Goyen, this is one of the changes that he introduced. And in Valozhin, they followed for 90 years while Valozhin was open, while the yeshiva was open. They, Reb Chaim Valozhin introduced, and they followed till the end all of the minhagim of the Gro, all the nuschos of the Gro. So they used to say halal with a bracha on Pesach night in the Beis Medrash. That's why Rav Soloveitchik followed his father's practice. His father was born in Valozhin. He followed all the minhagim of Valozhin. So his practice was that you say halal on Pesach night. Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage the mesmachim of the yeshiva that whenever possible they should introduce the reciting of halal unless it's going to cause a world war. Sometimes people are so touchy about this, they don't want to change any minhagim. Okay, so he said it was going to cause a machlokes, so you shouldn't. But if the Baal HaBatim will go along, so he thought the proper things to follow, the Nusach Agro, the Minig Agro, like the Mechaber against the Ramah, yes, to say halal on Pesach night. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik did not say halal. He was younger than Ramah Soloveitchik. He was a little baby. It wasn't even there in Valozhin. So he never had that practice. So in Europe, when Rav Chaim and his father was saying halal, he walked out. He didn't want to say halal. And in Eretz Yisrael, he never said halal either, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik. He followed the practice of the rest of the world. He didn't always follow the Nusach HaGro. So the Sfardish Poskim, the Chido, is a Sfardi. So he has it. So the Sfardim follow the Mechaber. So they say halal on Pesach night. So the Shaila was, if the first night Pesach, this year the first night Pesach was Matzoy Shabbos. If Pesach would be on Leil Shabbos, and the minig is that you say Vaychulu, and you got to say halal also, so which one do you say first? So that's a whole pilpul in the Chido. By Chulu, you say 52 Shabbos of the halal. You only say once or twice a year. You say halal by Ma'ariv. Only twice a year on Leil Pesach, that's all. So maybe you should say Torah Rishen and Torah Kod. Maybe by Chulu should be recited before the halal. And maybe on the other hand, by Chulu is only a minhag. And the halal is a real din. According to the Sfardim, halal is a real din. So maybe you should say halal first. So he has a whole pilpul about this, which should be recited first. I remember Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out the Biur HaGro has the following comment. In Shulchan Aruch it says the custom is that in Shul on Leil Chanukah the Chazan sins on Chanukah lit with a bracha, even though nobody's Yotze. One is only Yotze the Nitzvah Hadlokas Neres Chanukah if you light the Beso. If someone's going to light in Times Square, you're going to light in Kleos or something, and not the Beso, so you're not Yotze. Nonetheless, the minig is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you light Neres Chanukah the Beis HaKnesses in order to accomplish Bisuminis. So that's why there are those who have a practice to light. If you want to talk about Bisuminis, so light in Times Square, you get more Bisuminis, international Bisuminis. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about such a practice, and he thought that that's Brocha Levatola. He said years ago, it used to be a practice that in all that when the yeshiva had a chagigah, so they would have a chazan who would light candles by the chagigah and say a brocha. When the men's club and all the shuls would have a function on one of the nights of Chanukah, so someone would sin on Chanukah. So he was very upset. He said, all this is bracha levatol, and the minig only applies in between mincha and ma'ariv. What's that between mincha and ma'ariv? So he gave a whole maracha, a whole explanation based on the Biur HaGro. The Vilna Goyen writes in his commentary on that sif in Shulchan Aruch, where does this custom come from? It's not mentioned in the Talmud. The light there is Chanukah and shul with a bracha. So the Vilna Goyen writes, because the whole purpose of Neres Chanukah is Pisumi Nisa. And if you're light in shul, you'll accomplish much more Pisumi Nisa. Because you have the whole tzibur is there. So whenever you have a mitzvah, which you're obligated to fulfill for the purpose of accomplishing Pisumi Nisa, and if you do it b'tzibur, you'll get more Pisumi Nisa. So the minig is that you have to do it b'tzibur to get more Pisumi Nisa. What's the marker for this? So the marker is halal on Leil Pesach. Where does the halal come from that you say halal and shul? The Masechah Sofrim says so. And the Vilna Goyen thinks that we should follow the Masechah Sofrim to say the halal and shul. So where did that come from? Where did the Masechah Sofrim get it come? So he said, the Vilna Goyen writes, the halal should really be recited, supposed to be recited in the middle of the Seder. That's what it says in the Mishnayos. And the purpose of the halal and the whole CPC is Mitzrayim is to accomplish Pisumi Nisa. But how many people do you have to your Seder? You don't have hundreds of people. And in Shul, you have a much bigger crowd. However many people you have at your Seder, in Shul, there are going to be more people. You're going to have all of your people plus more. So because if you'll recite halal and Shul, you'll have a greater Pisumi Nisa. So the Chayves HaYachid of reciting halal on Leil Pesach for the purpose, for the sake of Pisumi Nisa, developed al pi minhog. He thinks that it's only a minhag to recite halal and Shul on Pesach night, recorded by the Maseches Avot, developed al pi minhag to become a Chayves HaTzibur. So the same is true regarding Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. The Chayves HaYochid of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah for the purpose of Pisumi Nisa should be observed mitam minhag as a Chayves HaTzibur. The Tzibur together should do the Hadlokas HaNeres. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained, that on Leil Chanukah, when does the Chazan light the Neres? It says in Shulchan Aruch, in between Mincha and Ma'ariv. So some poskim say, if it's late on Friday afternoon, and the Chazan is not going to finish the Chazoras HaShatz on Mincha before the Shkia, so you should light the candles before he starts Mincha. Because if you're going to light afterwards, it'll be Ben HaShmashis, so you're not allowed to light. So Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his father, Brocha Levatola. You're not allowed to. The meaning in Shul only is in between Mincha and Ma'ariv. Why? Because before he started Mincha, there is no Tzibur. He said, what is a Tzibur? What's the definition of a Tzibur? This was his terminology. 10 Balabatim sitting and reading the Morgul Jalal. That's called a Tzibur. He says, no, a Tzibur is when you have 10 people who are Nitztarfu Yachad for Adov Shebikdusha that requires a Tzibur. So that means they daven Mincha. But they finished davening Mincha. Goodbye, finished. The Tzibur disappeared. It vanished into thin air. The answer is no. They were Nitztarfu Yachad to daven Mincha, to say Kedusha, to say Kaddish, and they're still going to daven Ma'ariv. They didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. So they went at Tzafu Yachad, and they didn't disappear. The tzibur didn't vanish into thin air. So since you're in between Mincha and Ma'ariv, so therefore, this minig fits in to do Hadlokas Neres Chanukah Shal HaTzibur. And he said, Amatzai Shabbos, we can't do that though. We don't light the Neres Chanukah before Ma'ariv Amatzai Shabbos. So he said, where he came from in Europe, the minig was that the Chazan would light Neres Chanukah before Kaddish Tiskaba. Because once you say Baruch Hu, and you davening Ma'ariv, Baruch Hu is the Tziruf of the Tzibur, and you say Kaddish before Shemona Esrei, until you say Kaddish Tiskaba, you still have your Tzibur. So his minig, where he came from in Europe, was that the Chazan sins on Chanukah licht before Kaddish Tiskaba. In Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham writes, the minig is that the Chazan lights Neres Chanukah after Kaddish Tiskaba on Matzoi Shabbos. So he said, also not bad. He understands that minute because it didn't say Havdalah yet. And the reciting of Havdalah in Shul is also Havdalah Shal Tzibur, because it's a Tosefes Shabbos of the Tzibur until the Chazan says Havdalah in Shul. If they plan to say, a lot of Shuls, they don't say Havdalah. There are Shuls where they don't say Havdalah. So if you don't say Havdalah in Shul, once you said Kaddish Tiskabel, the Tzibur already disappeared. If the meaning in your Shul is that they say Havdalah, so then you started Baruch Hu Amitzoi Shabbos, Baruch Hu Zadav Shabikdusha needs a minion, you said Kaddish before Shemana Esrei, and you said Chatzi Kaddish after Shemana Esrei, but you didn't say, and even if you said Kaddish Niskabel, but you didn't say Havdalah yet, so the Tziruf of the Tzibur is still there. So he said, that's why on Pesach night, the Vilna Gaon is making a comparison. He thought, that's why on Pesach night, this minhog of reciting Halal that the Vilna Gaon is endorsing even for Ashkenazim, against the Ramo, against the practice of the Balei HaTesis, he said the minig is that you recite Hallel in between Ma'ariv and Kaddish Tiskabel. The Chazan didn't say Kaddish Tiskabel yet. So the Tzibur was Nitztarif Yachad, and they didn't disappear yet. They didn't vanish into thin air. So when you still have your Tzibur, so then you recite the Hallel to accomplish the Pirsumi Niso B'Tzibur as opposed to the Pirsumi Niso B'Yodah. In the Shul B'Rai Davin, on Leil Pesach, so the minyan was founded by Yekes and Hasidim, long time ago. They said that Mr. Mendelovich was one of the founders of this minyan. I don't know exactly how. The minyan is in Washington Heights. But that's what they said. So they have a compromise. The Yekes, Aresh Lehovet, they're never going to say halal on Pesach night. They'll walk out. They're not going to let you say halal either. So they made a compromise that's already for 50 years. Then on Pesach night, they finish the davening. They say Kaddish Tiskabel. They say Aleinu and Kaddish Yosem finished. Whoever wants to leave, leaves. And then whoever, half of the minyan remains behind. 30 people leave and 30 people remain behind. A little minyan. So the 30 people remain behind, they say Hallel with the Bracha. So according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, it could well be that compromise is Nishkan compromise. It could be that that's a Bracha Lamatola. Because the way he pointed out from the Biuri Hagro, the whole idea of reciting Hallel on Pesach night is a Pirsumi Nisa Shalatzibur. And what says that Tzibur? They went to start for Yachar for Adovish Bigdusha, and they didn't finish yet. They didn't say Kaddish Tiskabo, but once they say Kaddish Tiskabo, so the minyan disappeared, and half of the minyan walked on already. They're gone. So those who are left behind, who says that they're considered a Tzibur? So that's a questionable practice. They're Rashos, but they have such a compromise. On Yom Tov morning, like on Shabbos morning, we recite the longer version of the Pesukei de Zimra. This appears in the Zohar. The source is in the Zohar. Then on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when there's a greater Kedushas Hayoyim, so the proper thing is to elaborate on the Pesukei de Zimra. And the Zohar emphasizes that it's not proper to say the longer version of Pesukei de Zimra on a Yom Chol. That's why it's highly questionable. Many people have a practice on Yom HaAtzmaut. They're so excited, they want to express their gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Medina Yisrael. And there's what to express gratitude, and even in these days, when they're dismantling the Medina, there's still what to express gratitude to the Rabbanu Shalom. But to express your gratitude by adding on the Shabbos Dike Pesukei de Zimra, that's a little bit of a joke. On Chanukah and Purim, we have a lot to express gratitude about, but we don't add on the long Pesukei de Zimra. The Zohar says that these additional Pirkei Tehillim only apply on a day which has Kedushas Hayom. So the Pashtus says that it's reserved only for Shabbosim and Yom Tovim. The Mishnah in the last Perikim Sochim mentions that on Pesach night, the Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole Agada revolves about four Brochas Alakos. The first bracha lakos is Kiddush, second bracha lakos is Asher Yalonu, the third bracha lakos is the Birchas Hamazon, and the fourth one is referred to by the Mishnah as Birchas Hashir. What exactly is Birchas Hashir? We're not so familiar with that expression. So the Gemara says that refers to Nishmas. So the Chayodim quotes in the name of his Mechutin, the Vilna Gaon. He wasn't exactly Mechutin, the Vilna Gaon, but he likes to call Mechutoni Hagra. He was a Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon's son. Okay. So he quotes as Mechut Vilna Gaon pointed out in this Mishnah, you see that there are some people who sometimes come to shul late. So they streamline the Pesukei de Zimra. So everybody knows when the kids are Shulchan Aruch that if you come late, so you say Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtamach. But if it's on Shabbos, also you can say like that, Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtamach. So the Chayodim quotes from the Vilna Gaon that you can't do that. You have to say Baruch Shama Ashrei and Nishmas through Yishtabah, because on Shabbos and Yom Tov the bracha begins from Nishmas. It doesn't begin with Yishtabah. The long bracha begins, the whole bracha is considered Birchas Hashir. I remember there were years when Rav Soloveitchik was opposed to reciting of Shir Amalas Mimamakim and Aseris and Meitshuvah. That's from the Arizal. So that's Nusach Ari, recite Shir Amalas. Nusach Ashkenaz, they don't recite Shir Amalas. The Mogen Avram says, we don't do that. It's a shvera minig, nusach Ashkenaz, a hefsek, how can you say Shir Amalas? So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to retain the Shir Amalas, but he didn't want to violate the problem of hefsek. So he introduced that you should say Shir Amalas as part of Pesukei de Zimra. You say so many other prokem of Tilim, so you throw in another perik, the world won't come to an end. So you say, Enoch Shir Amalas. So for many years he used to recite Shir Amalas after Nishmas, before Yishtabach. Then he realized, what's he doing? He's doing worse. He made a bigger problem. In between Nishmas and Yishtabach, that's in the middle of a brocha. So the Mamash a hefsik in the middle of a brocha. So he moved up the Shir Amalas before Nishmas. If you want to insert it in the middle of Pesukei de Zimra, so put it there. That's also questionable whether that's acceptable, but that's what he did. For many years, he introduced Shir Amalas before Yishtabach, and then he realized that that's not correct because of the Chayodim's quotation from the Vilna Gaon. On Sholosh Regalim and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the minig is that when we have Hoitzua Sefer Torah, when they take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh, so in most communities the practice is that they recite the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lechan. Other communities, they felt that it's not right. They're reciting the Yud Gimel Midas is like a trina. That's like when you say Tachnon, so the Chassidim say Yud Gimel Midas. So when we say Slichas, and we say Yud Gimel Midas. What are you saying Slichas on? On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is not there. Okay, say Slichas. But on Sholosh Regalim, you say Slichas. So many communities, they had, you only say Hashem Hashem Karach Mechana on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You don't say on Sholosh Regalim. That was Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice, he didn't say. And then he had another insistence that when you do say Yud Gimel Midas, you shouldn't say three times. Most communities, they say three times. So the Achrenim complain about that. The Gemara says, "I mishmashma mishaskin also. We believe in one God. We don't believe in the Trinity. So what are you saying? You give a minas three times." So some achrayim give a limp defense of the practice of saying three times, but they're more taken by the kasha than by the teretz. They think that the problem is a more serious problem than the solution addresses. So that's why Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice was on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He said Yud Gimel Midas only once, and on Shal Shagam, he didn't say it all. But different minhagim. On Shalosh Regalim, when one gets an aliyah, so they say a special Misha Berach, this Machzor doesn't have. So at the conclusion of the Misha Berach for the Ola Latoris, they say, Yiskal Alas Aregam Kol Yisrael Echov, V'Noyim Ha'omim. So they write over the story that on one occasion the Gabbai was a little tzimisht, Baravel V'la Soloveitchik, and he left out the last line. He said, Yiskal Alas Aregel, V'Noyim Ha'omim. He didn't say Kol Yisrael Echov. So Ravel V'la insisted he has to say it over again, because that phrase, in Kol Yisrael Echov, is based on a passage, that's what he claimed, is based on a passage in the Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga. The Gemara says that a person has an awful body odor is potter from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Why is that so? Because the obligation to be Aliyah L'Regel is only if you can come with everybody else together. But if the fellow works he's a tanner, and he works with hides that have an awful smell, or he's a miner, he mines copper from the ground, and he has an awful smell because his body has the smell from the metal, so no one will want to go with him. He'll have to go by himself. So he's part of an old mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik said that that's what the phrase means. V'yizkal alas aregel, m'kol Yisrael achov, together with everybody else altogether. So if he left out that phrase, he's got to say over again. No, no. The Pasha Pshat is that that's not what it means, because if it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so you have a nusach, V'yizkal, because of Yisrael, you say also, m'kol Yisrael achov. He's also saying Kol Yisrael Echov. So it just means Kol Yisrael Echov. Whenever you misspell for someone, like you say, Hamakim Minachem Eschem, B'soch Shara Ve'eli Yisrael. Or you ask for Refuah for Achayla, B'soch Shara Achayla Yisrael. You should always be misspell for a person together with the whole Klal Yisrael. So it doesn't mean Yiskal Alas, he should be Ola Regal together with everybody. He should be Ola Regal together. All Klal Yisrael should be Ola Regal. It doesn't necessarily mean he should go with everybody else. The din is a din. The Gemara says that that is the din. But to say that that's the interpretation of that expression, the Pashta says that that's not what it means. Anyway, that's what Avavlo Soloveitchik claimed. This Shabbos is going to be Yom Tov Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, tomorrow night. Every so often you have Chalamoid, Shabbos Chalamoid. So on Shabbos Chalamoid, the Ramo in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Sefer Hagos Menhagim, from the German Menhagim, that there's a difference in the Nusach HaBrocha of the Haftorah between Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach as opposed to Shabbos Chalamoid Sukkos. On Shabbos Chalamoid Sukkos, even though on a normal Chalamoid you don't say Haftorah, you only say Haftorah because it's Shabbos, but on Shabbos Chalamoid Sukkos, since you're saying the Haftorah, so you conclude Al HaTorah Val Vodah Al Yom HaShabbos Hazeh Val Yom Chag HaMatzis Hazeh, you conclude on Sukkot, that is, you would say Yom Chag Sukkot Hazeh, you would conclude Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim, as opposed to Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach. Since Chalamoid, you don't recite any Haftarah, so the concluding bracha is just the conclusion of Shabbos. You don't incorporate Yom Tov. Why should you draw a distinction between Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach and Shabbos Chalamoid Sukkot? Shabbos Chalamoid Sukkot, the Sukkot plays a more prominent role, and you have to incorporate the Haskar of Kedushas Hayom of Sukkos into the Chasimus HaBracha. Why should that be so? So the Ramah quotes from Nagos Minhagim because the Gemara makes a distinction. The Gemara draws a contrast between Chalamoid Pesach and Chalamoid Sukkos, that on Sukkos every day they brought a different carbon, Chalukim Karbon and Seim. As opposed to Pesach, he bring the exact same carbon every day. So therefore, the Gemara is not talking about the Birchas HaFtorah. The Gemara says a different thing. The Gemara says Hallel. Why is it that on Sukkot we recite Halal Shalom every day for all 9 days of Sukkot, and on Pesach you only say Halal Shalom on the first 2 days, and from the Chalamoid on through the last days of Pesach you only say Chatzi Halal? Why is that? And the Rambam writes, whenever you say Chatzi Halal, it's only a minhug. So why is it that on Sukkot you mechuyev midrabbanan every day to recite Halal, and on Pesach you only mechuyev the first 2 days? Why is there a discrepancy? So the Gemara says, Gemara seems to say the following, that the obligation to recite Hallel is an expression of Simchas Yontif. So every day of Sukkot is Chaluk in the Korban, and Sem does mean variety is the spice of life, and it cheers us up to say a different set of Korbanos. What it means is that every day of Sukkot is described in the Chumash in a different parsha. It says, B'chamish Yasiyam B'chodesh HaShvi, then it says, B'yom HaSheni, then it says, B'yom HaShlishi, then it says, B'yom Arvi. So every day of Sukkot has its own parsha. There's a Psucha Stuma in between each day of Sukkot. Each day is a separate Kedushas HaYoyim. Each day is Mechayiv in a separate Mitzvah of Simcha. So because each day of Sukkot has a separate Chiyav Simcha, so you have to recite Hallel every day as an expression of that Simchas Yontif. Masheni came Pesach. Pesach is all contained in one parsha. The Torah says you bring Korbanos and it says Koyel Tassal Yom Shivas Yomim. Everything is in one parsha. You don't have a separate parsha for the second day, a separate parsha for the third day. It's not because of the fact that on Sukkot there's variety, Chalukim Korbanos Zayim, and Pesach there's no variety. It's not a word of variety versus boring repetition of Korbanos. The word is Chalukim Korbanos Zayim in Parshas Pinchas. There's a separate parsha for each day of Sukkot. So each day of Yontif Sukkot has a separate Kedushas HaYoyim. So every day is Mechayiv and Simcha Bifnei Atzma. Pesach, there's one Chayiv Simcha, there's one Kedushas HaYoyim for all 7 days, and there's one Chayiv Simcha for all 7 days. So once you said Hallel on the first day, so you're Yotzi already. We say Hallel Shalom on the second day because of Sveika de Yoyma. So we act as if yesterday, the first day Pesach, maybe was Chol, maybe was Erev Yontif, and today the second day is the first day. So what we said yesterday doesn't count. Maybe we weren't Yotzi anything. Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his father, let's say a person wasn't well, he was sick in the hospital, and he didn't say Hallel till the fourth day Hallel Moed Pesach. So he has to say Hallel Shalom on the fourth day Hallel Moed Pesach. You have to say Hallel Shalom sometime or another during the course of the 8 days of Pesach, 7, 8 days of Pesach. So if you said on the first 2 days, so you're Yotzi already. If you didn't say on the first 2 days, then you have to say, on Hallel Moed, you have to say Hallel Shalom. So this only is the So Rav Soloveitchik Taina, this is the explanation why there's a discrepancy between Hallel Moed Pesach and Hallel Moed Sukkot with respect to Hallel Shalom every day. But it doesn't make sense at all to apply this to the Birchas Haftarah. The Gemara in Bava Madlikin has a machlokes amaroyim. On Shabbos Hallel Moed, should you mention Sukkot and Pesach in the Birchas Haftarah or not? Because you're saying Haftarah, but the mechayiv to recite Haftarah is the Shabbos, not Chol Moed. You don't say Haftarah on Chol Moed, only when it's Shabbos Chol Moed. So Chol Moed is not the mechayiv, so maybe you should not mention it. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. It's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what the psak, what's the maskanas of Gemara. And our practice clearly is, we don't say on Chol Moed Pesach, we don't say. So why should you say Chol Moed Sukkot? So that's why the Vilna Goyen says that it's not correct, that you shouldn't follow this Ramah. He says that both on Chol Moed Pesach and on Chol Moed Sukkot, you should just say the Birchas Haftarah of Shabbos. I remember I was once in a yeshiva in England I was visiting relatives for Sukkot. So came Shabbos Chol Moed Sukkot, so the Rosh Yeshiva walked over, about to help him, walked over to the Gabbai, and he said, whoever you give Mafta to, make sure that he says the Nusach HaBrocha like the Nusach HaGro, because what it says in the Machzah is incorrect. So the Gabbai was afraid, he was started to tremble. What do you mean? So he said, then you give me Mafta, and I'll say the Nusach HaGro. So he got Mafta. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, so he said the Nusach HaGro. He said, you're not supposed to follow, it's a mistake. It's a problem. That difficult Ramah. The Ramah quotes this from Agos Minhagim, that there's a distinction between Shabbos Chol Moed Pesach and Shabbos Chol Moed Sukkot. Towards the end of Pesach, the minig is that we recite the Yisker. So there's a very widespread minig that those who have parents that are not reciting Yisker walk out of shul when everybody else saying Yisker. In the yeshiva, you have 98% of the people walk out, and 2% are left. They barely have a minyan. Sometimes there's no minyan left when they're saying Yisker. Everybody's standing in the halls. Maybe they should do Faket. Maybe those who are saying Yisker should walk out. So where does this custom come from? What kind of a custom is this to walk out? So there are different explanations that are given. The Tzitz Eliezer quotes different suggestions. Rav Soloveitchik used to have his explanation based on a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says in Brachas, in the end of the second parak, that it's not proper that everybody in shul is davening, and the Balkeri is not allowed to daven, so he just stands there. It looks as if he's not going along. He's not allowed to daven. At the time that the Takana Sezra was still intact, that the Balkeri is not allowed to daven. So it doesn't look right. Everybody's davening. He's not, as if he doesn't believe in the same religion. So the Gemara says you got to do something, that it shouldn't look wrong. So Rav Soloveitchik said, he thought that's the reason why everybody walks out. He says that people with parents are not going to say yiska, so the others are going to offer a prayer, and you're going to have half the people in shul are going to be davening, half the people not going to be davening. He said, that's not right. So he thought the same is true. He had this predicament every week. He, after his wife passed away, he moved in with his daughter, with the Tversky's. So he davened in his son-in-law's shtibel, Chassidish shtibel. So he used to daven mincha late on Friday afternoon. He used to daven mincha after the shkia. So he had this hang up. He can't die hard by Yavi. Not allowed to daven mincha after the shkia. So he always used to daven mincha earlier. He used to daven mincha b'yichidus. He used to come to shul, and they were davening mincha in shul. So he would walk out. He would walk out. When they were up to shmonis, he would walk out. Because he says he's not allowed to stand in shul. They're davening mincha. And he's going to stand there, and what? He's going to say tillim. He's going to be learning in a sefer. You're not allowed to do that. He thought that that's the exact same minig that the people walk out for yiska. So he thought it was based on that Gemara in Brachas by the Baal Keri. On the first day of Pesach, the Mishnah says that we bench tal. The question is, those who live in Chutz Laaretz, so we always treat Yantam Sheni Shel Golis as if it's a repeat of the first day Pesach. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to bench tal on the second day Pesach also. So what should you do? On the first day Pesach, you bench tal, and then in Mincha, you say Morid Atal, or you say Mechal Kachayim Chesed, you don't say Masharoch. Then by Ma'ariv, you say Masharoch Morid Ageshem. Shachris of the second, you say Masharoch Morid Ageshem. Then you bench tal the second day, start all over again. So there is one opinion in the Gemara like that, in Tainus, but that opinion has not been accepted. So that is not the common practice. We don't bench Geshem twice, both on Shmini Atzeres and on Simchas Torah. We don't go back. Once we bench Geshem, you don't go back Leil Simchas Torah to say Morid Atal and Shachris Simchas Torah Morid Atal, then bench Geshem again on Simchas Torah. We follow the conclusion of the Gemara that once you bench Tal, that's it, and once you bench Geshem, that's it. You don't have to repeat again. In the Nusach HaTfilah of Musaf, we have a lot of very fascinating expressions that really have to be investigated. We say, we cry our hearts out that we don't have the ability to be oyle regal, lalas v'leiros u'lishtachavos lefanecho. Lishtachavos lefanecho? Where does it say in Tanakh that when you're oyle regal, you have to be mishtachve? It just says you have to be oyle regal, appear in the Azara, and bring an oyle sri in the Shalmech Hagiga. It doesn't say a word about hishtachavoya. What is the source of lishtachavos lefanecho? So they point out, the different form point out, that the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Mishnah's Bikurim writes, in the Parsha Bikurim, it says, you bring your Bikurim, and then it says, V'hishtach avi, yisol lefnei Hashem, alokecho. So the Vilna Gaon says that that pasuk, V'hishtach avi, even though it's written in the context of Parsha's Mikra Bikurim, is not a specific din in Bikurim. It's a din, anyone who enters the Azara at any time is obligated to do Hishtach avi. As it appears in the Mishnais and Tamid, when the Mishnais described the daily activities in the Beis HaMikdash, it says this kohen, they used to draw lots, which kohen is going to have the right to do which avodah. So one kohen does the Shechita, one kohen does the Kabbalah Saddam, one kohen does the Halacha Saddam, one does the Zrika Saddam, he does this, he does this. So each one that does an avodah, it says, Hishtach HaBavayotza. He would be Mishtachla on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, then he would leave and run whatever other activities he's going to do that day. So what is this? Where is the source for this Hishtach Bavayotza? So the Gros says the source is that pasuk in Mikra Bikurim, the Hishtach Boya is not a specific din. In Hilchas Bikurim, it's a din anyone who enters the Azar any time in the year is obligated to be Mishtach. But the big problem is that on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is in the Beis HaMikdash all day long, it never says once that he does a Hishtach Boya. So that's a problem. The Mishnah, the Mishnayis and Yuma, and we say in the Piyutim on Yom Kippur and the Davening, give you a step-by-step description of what the Kohen Gadol does. He never wants his Mishtachlis. So that's a big problem. So Rav Soloveitchik has a whole Dvar Torah. He printed a whole Dvar Torah on that. Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol do Mishtachvoya on Yom Kippur if it's a din all year long that whoever visits the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be Mishtachlis? We cry our hearts out that we don't have the ability to bring lasas chaveseda b'veis b'chirasech. We don't have the opportunity to bring karbonis b'mtnei hadal shenishtalcho b'migdoshechos. Here there are two versions in different sidurim or different mazarim. Some have the reason b'mtnei hayad hashlucho b'migdoshecho. The Arabs are there right now at the present time and they don't let us bring karbonis. If we'll start to bring karbonis, the World War III will break out. They'll start killing everybody. And the other version is Hayat Shenish Talcho B'Migdashecho. Even if it's not Shlucha, even if we would have the opportunity, even if the Arabs would disappear and they wouldn't bother us, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hayat Shenish Talcho B'Migdashecho, 2,000 years ago the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so that's it, we're not able to bring Korbanos anymore. What does this issue depend on? Whether the correct reading should be Shenish Talcho or Hashlucha B'Migdashecho? So there was a rabbi in London. Some of the people still remember him. His name was Rabbi Tzvi Ferber. He was a Litvak, a Litvish. He went in Slobodkin. He used to give shiurim to the young people. There are young men in Washington, I still remember. They were brought up by this Rabbi Ferber. So he published maybe 20 svarim on Siddur and on Chumash and on Minhagim and on Dinim and Droshes and everything. He wrote on everything under the sun. So he has a beautiful collection on the Nusach HaTfilo. So he quotes, this is not his, he quotes from one of the publications. They used to have Torah journals in Europe, so he quotes, some Talmid Chacham doesn't quote by name, and he tells you which Torah journal it appeared in, gave the following suggestion. There is a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid, Halacha Lemaisa, whether when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, do we assume the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash disappeared? Loi kitcha lasid lavoi. Should we assume, though, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a Mokam HaShuas HaShchina, and the Shchina Lazaz Memkaima, and the Kitchel Asi Lava. So the Rambam is of the opinion, Kitchel Asi Lava. So he says, according to the Rambam, that the Mokam of the Beis HaMikdash retains its Kedusha, so the correct reading should be, the Arabs simply are there, now they simply don't let us bring any Karbonis. But according to the Ravid, even if there wouldn't be any Arabs there on the Harabais preventing us, the fact that Hayat Shenish Talcho B'Migdashecho, because of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed almost 2,000 years ago, this canceled at that time the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, and then, even if we'll have access to the Beis HaMikdash now, we wouldn't be permitted to bring Karbonis, because there's no Kedusha's Mokam anymore. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should have the opportunity to, we should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we should bring Tamidim Kisidram Umusafim Kihil Chasam. This is a very strange expression. Tamidim, we say it all the time now. Tamidim Kisidram Umusafim Kihil Chasam. So there's a famous comment. Rab Shlomo Vilna has this. He was a dying in Vilna in the late 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. He knew the Gemara by heart, the Gemara Rashi and Tais by heart. So he was the proofreader. So when the Vilna Shas, when they set the print, when they set the type, so they gave it to him, so he didn't have to look in another Gemara to check like this. He knew what it's supposed to say by heart. That's what there are quite a few mistakes in the Vilna Shas that don't appear in any other edition before, because he corrected everything by pet. There's some mistakes that are Litvish misspellings. He pronounced the shin, a sin, and a shin. So sometimes you have a shin and a sin that are mixed up. Because it looked right to him, the way he mispronounced the Yiddish. So that was supposed to be a sin instead of a shin. And you have other mistakes also. Every so often there's a mistake only in the Vilna Shas. And nobody in the back is going to correct it because they didn't have a Vilna Shas. They're writing corrections on the other edition. They're not writing corrections on the Vilna Shas. Anyway, so his grandson used to teach in yeshiva. Rabbi Markelis used to teach years ago. We were talmidim in yeshiva. So he said that was the family tradition, that he was the magi on the Vilna Shas, and he corrected the galleys by heart because he knew everything by heart, and that's why there are mistakes. So Rav Shlomo Levilna has in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo a very fascinating comment on this expression. He says, Tmidim Kisidrum, you bring the Tmidim as it's described in the Chumash, Tamash Rashach in the morning, Tamash Obein Abayim in the afternoon, but the Masofim are not offered the way it says in the Chumash. It always says in the Chumash, we recite it in the Davening Amusav, it always says you bring an oila, a whole bunch of oilas, 10 oilas, and then it says you bring a chatas in the end. The Sarah Lachatas, that's not the way you bring it. First you bring it, the Mishnah you say in Zvachim, first you bring the chatos, then you bring the oilas. So we say we should bring the tmidim as it's described in Chumash, and the musafim kihil chasam, according to the halacha of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is in contradiction to what it sounds from the Chumash, we're not going to bring the musafim kisidrum. We're going to bring the musafim kihil chasam. When we repeat again, this coming Shabbos, we're going to speak about the two sets of Karbanos that we'll bring. We will pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, give us an opportunity to bring the Karban Musav, V'yam HaShem Shnechlas B'Neshan Tamimim, and also to bring the Hikraftim. So in many Sidurim, they have a line after V'yam HaShabbos, it says, Zek Karban Shabbos, V'Karban HaYam Ka'amur. We're telling God, give us the opportunity to bring the Karban Shabbos, as it says in Yom Chomish. And what I just said is Shabbos. Now I'm going to say the Karbanos for Yontav, as if the Ribbono Shel Olam does know which is which. So, and many Siddurim, this appears in brackets, in parentheses. The reason why it's in parentheses is because the Talmidim of Rashi quote in the name of Rashi that it's improper to mention that line. That's why the Bala Tanya leaves out the line in his Siddur, because it's not from the original Nusach of Danshik Nesach Gdol. It was added on by someone in the Middle Ages. And Rashi says you shouldn't say it. So that's why many omit that line. Then we continue to pray, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have Rachmanis on us. He should rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, in many communities in Europe, the minute used to be that on Shabbos Chazayin, when the Chazan would say, L'chododi, he would sing the Nigin to the Nigin of Eli Tzion. Chododi likras kalop, nei Shabbos nikablo. And there were those who had tainus against this, that it's not proper to indicate any sign of Avelus on Shabbos. They quote the Chazanish had such a taina, Chassidim had such a taina. So Rav Soloveitchik used the Dama Farnomid himself on Shabbos Chazayin, and he used to sing that Nigin. So he felt that there was nothing wrong, and he said, what do you mean? Everybody sings. When it comes on Yom Tov, he sings the Nigin. He said, that's based on the Nigin of Eli Tzion. We're crying our hearts out. We're pouring our hearts out. We're crying over the fact we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're singing to the Nigin of Eli Tzion. So how can you say that you're not allowed to sing such a Nigin on Shabbos? On Yom Tov, we sing the Nigin. It's Kalachayim on Shabbos. Now everybody has Karlbach Nigunim, so it's superseded the whole Nigin of B'nai Beislub, a whole different Nusach. There's a famous interpretation that said over the name of Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin on the phrase that we have in the Tefillah, Hareinu b'vinyona v'samcheinu b'sikuna, Kodesh Baruch Hu should show us Hareinu. He should let us see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdosh, and he should cheer us up, samcheinu b'tikuna. What is this a reference to? So they quoted the name of Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin. He was the rabbi in Brisk before Rabbi Chaim, before the Beis HaLevi. That Rashi and Taisus in the end of Rosh Hashanah quote a Medrash that the third Beis HaMikdash will come down from heaven. It'll be a Beis HaMikdash Aleish. We won't have to lift a finger. So that's what it means. Hareinu b'vinyona. We stand on the side and we'll watch and we'll see this Beis HaMikdash come down. But if we'll just see the Beis HaMikdash fly down from heaven, so we won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah binyan Beis HaMikdash. So it's wonderful. We don't have to lift a finger, but we're losing out the fulfillment of the mitzvah binyan Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin suggests that mistama it'll come down missing a little bit. That's likuva. It'll be missing a door over here. It'll be missing a handle. It'll be missing something. So that is samchenu ditikunai. He'll cheer us up. He'll give us the opportunity to be misakin something and thereby fulfill the mitzvah of binyan Beis HaMikdash. If everything is going to come down 100%, so then we don't have to lift the finger, but we lose the mitzvah. So he thought that that's what this phrase means. Hareinu b'vinyona, we should see with our eyes the Beis HaMikdash Olosi Lova coming down from heaven. V'samcheinu b'sikuna. Part of what we pray for to our Kodesh Baruch Hu is V'hashiv kohanim l'avodasim l'avim l'shim l'zim v'hashiv yisrael l'nevehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring back the Kohanim to the Beis HaMikdosh to bring HaKarvas, HaKarbonis, and the Levim should sing the Shir for Hashiv Yisrael L'Nevehem, and all the Jewish people should live in their homes. Why does that fit in over here? The Jewish people should live in their homes in Eretz Yisrael. That's a different tefillah. Over here, the whole emphasis is about Aliyah L'Regel, Beis HaMikdosh. Why do we insert that line, and the Jews should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael also? So they quote in the name of Rav Elvola Soloveitchik, that the Gemara says in the first parak in Sochem that the Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are not obligated to be Olei Regel. Lamai said many of them used to come, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, used to spend money to come from Europe, Asia, Africa to be Olei Regel, and more came for Pesach. But strictly speaking, they're not Mechuyif to be Olei Regel, because the Pasuk says that when you'll be Olei Regel, B'Loyach Merish Yisartzucha Ba'aloscha Leiroz. The Soilim will not steal the land away from us in Eretz Yisrael when we go to be Olei Regel. So the mashmos of the pasuk, the Gemara understands, is that it's only referring to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. One who lives in Chutz Lortz is not mechuyev in Aliyah L'Regel. So Rav Elvola said that here we're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should give us the opportunity we should have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel is only if Hashem Yisrael in Abayim, if all the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael doesn't have the obligation, doesn't have the mitzvah to be Aliyah L'Regel. So that's why we insert this line, "Hashem v'sel dinaveihem," bring the Jewish people back. They should live in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. It shouldn't just be an ena mitzvah v'yosa, like there always were during the days of the Bayis Sheni. There always were people who used to travel from Chutzlar, but they weren't mechuyev to come. The obligation only applies to those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael. In Shulchan Aruch, the practice is, the Ramah describes the practice that we no longer duchen every day, we only duchen on Yontif, and we've, most communities, they only duchen on Musaf, they don't even duchen in Shachris. It's interesting, Rabbi Yankif Emden writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch that duchening is only a mitzvah min HaTorah in the Beis HaMikdosh. Outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, it's only mid the Rabbanon. How does he know? It's based on the pasuk in Parsha Shmini, that it says, V'yisa Aaron is yod of Al-Hom by Yivorchein. Aaron HaKoyen lifted his hands and he said, Duchening. V'yered me'asas ha'chatas v'ho olo. So the Gemara in Sota understands the Pasuk to mean, at the conclusion of Hakrobas Kabonas Tzibur, that's when you can duchen. If you're not finishing Hakrobas Kabonas Tzibur, you don't duchen. So Rabbi Yankiv Hemden said, no, we don't have any Kabonas at all. So there's nothing to discuss. So the duchening today can only be Midirabon. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in a footnote. He doesn't quote it in the Mishnah Berurah, doesn't quote it in the Bi'alocha, not in the Shaar Tzion. It's an asterisk on the bottom of the page, on a footnote on the bottom of everything, and he says that it's wrong. It's against the Gemara and Chulin. The Gemara and Chulin is clear that Duchening today is Minatar. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden is wrong, but he's wrong, but he's right. But he quotes a Gemara also. The Gemara says in Saita, Vayered me'asas ha'chatas va'olot, that you only Duchen at the conclusion of Hakrovas Kabonet Tzibur. Rav Soloveitchik once delivered a Yortzeit Rosh on this topic, so he said over the Keren Oira, on the Gemara in Soto. Okay, Benoira has the following fascinating idea. Rabbi Soloveitchik elaborated on it a little bit. In the weekday Shmon Esreis, we have a bracha, the last bracha of the brachas of Mitzoyis is Shema Koleinu, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Tfilah. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should listen to all of our prayers. Then right after that we say, Ritzei Hashem Lakeinu Ba'amchi Yisrael Levisfilosim. He should listen to our prayers. That's what we just concluded. Then we repeat the same theme in the next bracha. It would say, so Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is what the Keren Ora has, that these are two different bakoshes. Shema Tfilo, we ask God to listen to our prayers. We'd say, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the prayers as if we had offered a korban. Because the term Ritzui, most of the time when it appears in Tanakh, it appears in connection with karbonis. The dam is meratze, the dam is not meratze, the tzitz is meratze, the expression ritzui meratze, most of the time, that's how the Baal HaTanya points out, ruba, the ruba of the time, the expression ritzui appears in Tanakh in conjunction with hakrovas hakarbonis. So when we offer a prayer, it says, Hashem lakeinu be'amchi yisrael levisfi losam, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our prayers as if we had brought a korban. So when a private person davens tefillah biyochid, his own Shman Esrei. So when he offers the Brocha Ritzei, the Halacha considers his Tfilos HaYochid as if he had offered a Korban Yochid. When the Chazan is reciting Tfilos HaTzibur, and he says Ritzei, the Tfilos HaTzibur is now considered as if it was just converted into a Korban Tzibur. So once you say Ritzei, once the Chazan says Ritzei, in the Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf, you hold him by the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. So then this is a din min HaTorah. Duchening is a din deraisa at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. That's what the Keren Ora explained. That's why the Gemara has a din that the Kohanim who want to duchen have to walk up at some, by the time the Chazan finishes the Brocha Ritzei. Because this Brocha Ritzei is the Brocha that converts the Tfilos HaTzibur into the Korban Tzibur. And that's what enables us to have the duchening in the first place. If you don't have Karbonas Tzibur, you can't have any duchening. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilner writes in his Sefer in the Binyan Shlomo. That's why the minig is that when we duchen in Musaf, we add a piyut. It's not really part of the Nusach HaTfilah. We add a piyut, v'sera v'alach ha'siraseinu ka'olach ha'korban. We're emphasizing the same theme that we said anyway, we'd say. Our prayers, ha'siraseinu, should be pleasant, should be sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if we had offered korbanas. So since the Chazan is reciting Tfilos HaTzibur, and he says that prayer should be accepted as if we offered Karbonas, so this is the conclusion of the Karbonas Tzibur. So that's what enables the Kohanim to duchen min HaTorah. We mentioned earlier the two Nischos HaBrocha. Most people recite the Brocha Shoschu Labatcha B'Yiron Avod, and the Vilna Gaon insisted that it's not right to change the Nusach. You should leave the Nusach HaMachzen Shpinosa Letzia. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that's what's usually assumed. That's what everybody assumes. If you're going to conclude Shoschu Labatcha B'Yiron Avod, then you have to have Samach L'Chasima Me'ein HaChasima. So you have to conclude with Sechazel and Menem Shuvchalatim Rachmim, Visham Navod Chabiyira, Shos Chalavat Chabiyira Navod. But if you plan to say the Nusach Agro, Hamas Lashkinos Alitzin, you should reverse these two lines. You should say, Hashem Shkinos Alitzin, Nerechav Seyd Navod Yerushalayim, Visham Navod Chabiyira Kameyad Amachshanim Kadmayos, Visechazel and Einenu, then Hamas Lashkinos Alitzin. Because Sechazel and Menem Shuvchalatim Rachmim is Samach Lachasima, Meyen Achasima. You're mentioning Bishuv Chalitzim Berachmim Hamas Mishinos Alitzim. So you have to make up your mind. The Chazan has to make up his mind. Which Nusach HaBracha does he plan to say? And then he should recite the previous lines accordingly. Shlomo Levilna also, in the same essay in the Sefer Binyan, Binyan Shlomo, has quotes from Rabbi Rafael Hamburger. He's not too happy about this, but this is what he quotes. Rabbi Rafael Hamburger was an earlier generation. Why do we say B'Sera B'Alach HaSira Seinu Ka'ola Ach HaKorban? An Ola is also a Korban. So what's the difference between the Ola and the Korban? So he says, we mean Ka'ola Uch HaKorban is a reference to the Chatas. Then on Yontif, on Yomim Tevim, on Shabbos there is no Chatas, but on Yomim Tevim, that's our meaning is that we do it only on Yontif. So this Piyut, B'Sera B'Alach HaSira Seinu, is only recited on Yomim Tevim. So Ka'ola Uch HaKorban, we speak of the Ola first and then the Korban second. So Rabbi Foel Hamburger explains it. Why do we talk and mention the Ola first before the Chatos? If you're supposed to be Makar of the Chatos before the Ola. So he says, he gives a whole pshetl. Rabbi Shlomo Levilna is not happy, but he quotes this in the name of Rabbi Foel Hamburger. So he says, the Talmud has a tradition based on psukim that when we recite the psukim of the Karbonis, it's considered kiilu we had offered the Karbonis. But there is a din that when you bring a carbon oil, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbech. So when you recite the psukim, it's considered as if we did everything we're supposed to do. A chatas, though, you don't burn everything on the mizbech. You just burn the emurim, the chelev, and the rest of the chatas is eaten by the kohanim. So is there such a din in the Talmud that when we recite the parshas chatas, is considered as if the kohanim had eaten? When you recite the parshas achatas, it's considered as if the kohanim had eaten the chatas. The Gemara says, Kohanim, Ochel Mabayla Miskaprim, the full kapara, the full fulfillment of the mitzvah only comes about when the Kohanim eat. So if the Kohanim don't eat, and we have no haftocha, we have no promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if you recite the psukim of the chatas, it's considered kila the Kohanim had eaten. So the chatas that we do today is of an inferior quality, because we're missing the achilas HaKohan. So Rafael Hamburger said, that's why we say, first we speak about the Ola, that we're in complete fulfillment of the mitzvah to the best of our ability by reciting the parshas. But then we speak about the Korban, which is a reference to the Chatos, we're not in complete fulfillment, because there is no such promise that when you recite the Psukim of the Chatos, it's considered as if the Korbanos had been offered. But when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we say, Hashem Shechinos HaLetzion Neirecha. The Seder HaAvoida, Yerushalayim, Seder HaAvoida means it'll be the reverse order. First we'll bring the Chatas, then the Yola. Because then the Chatas will be eaten. When the Beis HaMikdash will be beat, the Chatas will actually be eaten. So then we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should restore the Seder HaAvoida, the proper Seder, namely, like Tamidim Kisidrim Masafim Keol Chosam, the correct Seder. The correct Seder is first the Chatas and then the Yola. The Gemara tells us in Brachas that at the time that the Kohanim Duchen, if anyone had a bad dream, they should pray at that time that the dream should turn out to be good. So that's why the minig is that we recite the prayer for the Chalamos. Ani Shalach v'Chalamos v'Shalach. This prayer is based on a passage in the Gemara. Ani Shalach v'Chalamos v'Shalach appears in the Gemara. The other prayer that appears is from Achsidish Machzer. From Chassidish, this is our Redel Ham Siddur, but here they have it also. It says in the Siddur Shari Tzion, they have this prayer, instead of saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ani Shalach, Chamos Shalach, the third time it says, you should say, Yirasim Alfanecho, Shitasa Leman Kedushas Chasadecha, etc., etc. Of course, this was composed by Chassidish Tzadikim. So the Vilna Gaon was opposed to anything that was introduced by the Chassidim. So he said that they distorted everything over here. that the first prayer about the Halema should be recited all three times. He shouldn't say this Yehi Ratzon at all. Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and he says, the first time when the Kohanim are about to finish V'yishmerecha, so you should conclude, Tapach kol chalamasa Allah v'kol yisrael l'toivah, v'sishmereini. V'sishmereini corresponds to V'yishmerecha. The second pasuk that the Kohanim complete, they're going to say V'yichunecha, so we should conclude, Akol chalamasa Allah v'kol yisrael l'toivah, usuchaneini. Because the Kohanim are about to say V'yichunecha, so we should conclude usuchaneini. And the third pasuk, when they're going to say V'yasem l'cho shalom, so we should conclude with the third word, Visirtseini. You don't say all three times. The Sishmereini is Chaneini Visirtseini. The Vilna Goyen is quoted as saying, the first time you conclude Visishmereini only, the second time on the second pasuk you conclude Visuchaneini, and the third time you should conclude Visirtseini. The text as it's printed in the Machzorim has a little extra words that don't really appear in the Gemara. So if you look in the back of the Gemara Brachas, this is a Gemara Brachas in Perek Harei Chalayim, or with all the Chalayim is there. So on the back of the Gemara, they have Heoros from the different Talmid HaChachamim, and they have from the Shabbalah Rav a comment. He quotes from the Sefer Chassidim from others that when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not proper to refer to someone with all of his big titles. Like sometimes when you go to a funeral and they're saying Kel Malei Rachman, it's a big Talmud HaChachamim, so you say, it's Nishmas HaRav HaGoyen HaMefursam. What, you're telling God about this great Rav HaGoyen HaMefursam? The Baruch Shalom is bigger than him. So it says it's not derech eretz when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say harav, hagoyin, or something like that. So it's not proper over here. That's what the Shabbalah Rav points out. It's not proper when you say im tovim heim, if the chalomos were good, chaskin yamtzim iskayim b'bir b'chem, k'chalomosim shal Yosef hatzadik. It's not proper to refer to him as Yosef. It's like, k'chalomosim shal Yosef. And tzich merfuah, refuahim k'chizkiyahu. It's not proper to refer to him as Melech Yehudim. The Talmud Rabbanu Shalom has full title. Chemirim Hanaviyah. You should leave out the word Hanaviyah. Chememar de Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not proper to say Rabbeinu. So he says the proper thing is to leave out the Rabbeinu, to leave out Melech Yehuda, to leave out Hanaviyah, to say the Nusach that says in the Gemara, without all the titles. The titles were added on later, and he times that this is Mekalkal. It says it's from that it's not proper to add on all of these titles. This coming Shabbos, there are different minhagim in Shulchan Aruch. They mention a custom that when Yontif falls out on Shabbos, the Kohanim don't do it. So they say it's an improper minig, and you should abolish that minig. I think the Aruch HaShulchan writes, he's not going to mention the minig that they're tumbling about because the minig doesn't exist anymore. The minig exists all over. They have still a very widespread minig that when Yontif falls out on Shabbos, the Kohanim don't do it. Rav Soloveitchik told us that when he first came to America, he was a rabbi in Boston, so Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and he was a very young man, he was a hothead at that time, so the Kohanim didn't want to duchen because it was Shabbos, and he said he was cursing and screaming and dancing, Ois gezidl, arayin gezokt, and tatn, statn arayin, and he said, of course, he won the war, because he was screaming so much, and he lost his job. He said, before Yom Kippur, they had fired him already. So he told the students in Yeshiva, fired him from that shul, I guess, he was still a rabbi in other shuls. So he said, we should all try to introduce Duchenig even when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, but we shouldn't resign from there, we shouldn't give up our position over this issue. There are other issues that are worth making a fight about, but not about this. He says, if they insist that I'm on a Duchen, so you're not mukhlif to put your position on the line regarding this issue. Of course, the Mishnah says that there's a Chazan HaKnesses. The Chazan HaKnesses is not the Chazan. Chazan HaKnesses is a Gabbai. So the Rabbi Natam in Taisus of Brochus discusses who calls out Kohanim. The Chazan is in the middle of Shemone Esrei. He finishes Hatov Shimcha L'chanor L'hodos, and the Chazan screams out Kohanim. He's not a hefsek in the middle. So the Rabbi Natam says, the Chazan doesn't say Kohanim. The Gabbai says Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, if you daven in the different shuls. So someone else calls out Kohanim. The Chazan doesn't say Kohanim. The Ramo says that our custom is that the Chazan says Alakenu Alakenu Seinu Bachenu Babracham Shlosh Bater. He says a whole paragraph. That whole paragraph he says all the time when you don't have duchening, he says that paragraph. So even when you have duchening, he says that, and then when he gets to the line Kohanim, he screams it out loud. So it's not a hefsik because the word Kohanim fits in with the rest of the paragraph. In many communities, they have a custom that when the Chazan screams out Kohanim, everybody screams out Ankud Hashem Kamu, which doesn't make absolutely any sense whatsoever. the phrase that, what do you mean? Why are they screaming out Kadashach HaKamur? Before Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi in Breuer's community, so he always used to learn after Shacharis in the morning. So before Yom Tov, he'd always run through the Dinam HaYom every week before Yom Tov, before all the Yom Tov, he would say, it doesn't make any sense, you shouldn't say it. And everybody said it anyway. You know, they listened to him like the rabbi. He was the rabbi and they didn't listen to the rabbi. So it really doesn't make any sense. But the Ramah has a comment which Rav Soloveitchik didn't go for. The Ramah said that the Chazan should recite Elokeinu Kereseinu Bachena Barbrachim Shleshes Batorah softly. Only when he gets to the word Kohanim, then he should scream it out loud. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that wasn't really correct. He thought that the Chazan's tefillah is a tefillah HaTzibur. So you have to have the Tzibur hear the tefillah. Whatever he says Belachash is considered as if he didn't say. So it would like to be a hepsik if he says Kohanim out loud. So he thought if one wants to follow the minig of the Ramah that the Chazan says, okay, come say no, he should say the whole thing out loud from the beginning to the end of the paragraph. He should say out loud. In many communities, they have a practice that if there's only one Kohen, so instead of screaming Kohanim, the Chazan screams out Kohen. So this is against the Gemara. Tosis quotes, there is an opinion in the Talmud Yerushalmi like that, but such an opinion does not exist in the Talmud Bavli at all, and the accepted Psak in the Bavli in the Gemara in the end of Saita is that when you only have one Kohen, so the Kohen Duchen's on his own, and you don't call out Kohanim. The Gemara in Saita says, when the Kohanim recite Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecho, so the proper thing is that the Tibur should say Psukim simultaneously. Then and the Gemara raises the question, how can you pay attention? How can you hear the Kohanim say the words if you're saying a Pasuk at the same time? So the Gemara says, it's okay. It is possible because we do it all the time. When the Chazan says Modim, so everybody says Modim the Rabbanan, and we all succeed in doing this stunt. We all do the trick. We hear every word of the Chazan, and simultaneously we're all saying Modim the Rabbanan. So the Torah writes in Hilchas Nesias Kapayim that we live in a Shvacha generation. People can't concentrate on two things at the same time. So we shouldn't say the Psukim because you can't concentrate. You can't pay attention to the Kohanim saying the words Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha if you're saying the Psukim at the same time. You want to look at the Psukim, Hechetes. But the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch quotes that it's not proper to say the Psukim while the Kohanim are reciting the Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik carried over to the Moedim the Rabbanan. He said the same thing. If the Torah says we can't succeed in concentrating on two things at the same time, so we really shouldn't say Moedim the Rabbanan while the Chazan is saying the Moedim, we've got to figure out some mate. So the Chazan has to say, and most of the shuls, the Chazan says, Moedim softly. So that's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the Chazan has to say it out loud, and we're supposed to pay attention to every word of the Chazan when he says Moedim, simultaneously with our reciting Moedim the Rabbanan. So Shulchan Aruch says you can't concentrate on the Chazan at the same time, so you've got to figure out how to do this. But by the Duchening, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's not proper to say the Psukim while the Kohanim are reciting the Birchas Kohan. When Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, there are different minhagim whether the tefillah, whether the tchina is recited regarding the halaymus. We have a minig, a din, that we don't, we're more makbid about dibur on Shabbos than we are on Yom Tov. Even though we recite the tchinas on Yom Tov, but the Yom Tov shachol is b'Shabbos, most communities have the minig, they don't recite this tefillah for the halaymus. The Netziv, in his Chubis, Meshiv Dova, defends the Minig in Valojin, in the community as well as in the yeshiva. He says that there the Minig always was that they did say the Tchina for the Chaloimus, even on Yom Tov Shecholi is B'Shabbos, and he claims that the prohibition against reciting Tchinas on Shabbos only applies to those Tchinas that are recited not in the context of the Shmona Esrei, but whatever Tchinas are recited in the middle of the Chazoras HaShatz, he claims that that's acceptable. And he justifies, he thereby justifies the minig valoshim. But in most communities, I think the minig, the widespread minig is that they don't say the Rabban Shalom. In fact, in some of the Litvashi yeshivas, to announce to the tzibah that they shouldn't, so a lot of the yeshivas, they keep on giving a clap on the shtender when it's time for this, when it's time for that. So when the chazan says, v'yishmerecho, so the gabbai gives a clap on the shtender that the kohanim should say right away, v'yishmerecho. They shouldn't sing any niggin, because if they're going to sing a niggun, they're going to mislead everybody into thinking that they should say the tefillah for the halaymus, which the minig in most places was that it was not recited on Yom Tov Shecholi is Mishamas. There are many more issues, there are many interesting nuances in the Nusach HaTefillah, but the hour is very late. Most of these 30-some-odd issues that I brought up, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. He used to, from time to time, he used to spend a lot of time on the Nusach HaTfilah. He never gave one shiur on the whole Nusach HaTfilah, but he felt that it's important. He said, we live in a country where the Reform and the Conservative keep on changing the Nusach, and they don't like something, so they throw this out, they throw that out. So he insisted that everything has to be recited. He said, you're not allowed to change anything, so he used to spend a lot of time explaining all the Nusach, every Nusach HaTfilah, every phrase, where it comes from in the Gemara, and so on. And sometimes one of them wasn't Dois Gehalten, so he says, you should say this Nusach, that Nusach, the other Nusach. There's a good explanation for everything that's here. If you don't have a good explanation, Taki, you don't say it. A good Nyantav, everybody.